Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we will be discussing A Little Predator and Simple Favor action. iTunes is deleting our world, but mostly, we're going to make way for a fall TV preview. Let's get on with the show! My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hoes, Johnny Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great now that you've finally turned your little notifiers off on your phone. Yeah. That's cool.
I'm really good at this.
Yeah. Rookie Nathan Fillion mistake. That's what we're going to call it for the rest of this season until that show gets canceled. Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, everybody. We have been gone for a couple weeks. I think the last thing we did, we did a Patreon episode, so check that out if you guys want something. We offended a lot of people on that one. Patreon.com/The Hollywood Outsider. Olivia Munn, don't listen. So it was an interesting episode. But outside of that, nobody's really heard us for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, unless they listen to best of episode or anything like that, but no fresh voices.
Did you guys do anything cool, movie or TV related? Or I don't really care about your personal lives.
I've seen a couple of the Harry Potter movies back in theaters, which has been really great.
Didn't they do like two every Sunday
for September? Yeah, AMC is.
Are we like for 4 weeks then?
Yeah. So the last two are coming up. It'll actually be this upcoming weekend. Hopefully they've listened to this episode by the time. But it's certain AMCs. I don't think it's all of them. So you'd have to check and see if
most people are probably listening to this going, it's already over. So you know what? You already have them on Blu-ray or DVD or VHS or whatever the hell they're on.
Or digital.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of digital, they might not have them anymore. I don't know what the rules are, but iTunes is pissing people off. And I'm sorry ahead of time. I have a cold, so if I sound a bit more bitchy than normal, that's why, if that's possible.
So basically just a lot of attitude and sniffles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not so baritone.
Sounds kind of like every other week.
Okay, wow. Well, just kidding. She joins the podcast.
Oh, she's just coming out of the gate swinging, isn't she?
Yeah, well, it's gonna be suck when we go back to two people, isn't it? That's going to be weird.
I hope those guests don't mind us calling them back up again.
iTunes is pissing people off due to a few of their digital flicks disappearing after being bought. My question being basically what's happening is now if you have downloaded it previously, if you've bought it and then you've downloaded it, you can re-download it, I think, at any time. But there are certain some movies that you bought and you might not have ever downloaded. I know I've done that with half my library. And they might not be there. Again, it's really pissing some people off. But isn't that kind of the gamble with digital purchases?
Yeah, it's totally the gamble with digital purchases. I believe that the rule should always be if you love it, buy it. And buy a hard copy of it. If you only like it, all right, maybe digital. When it's on sale, a digital is fine. But it's not too unheard of. Retailers, they lose the rights to some of these properties and they lose the rights to be able to continue to distribute them. And what you were paying for is the convenience of not having that physical media. But when that media is gone, what are they going to be able to do? It's gone. There's no way for them to fix it, no way of returning it, no nothing they can do. So I don't really blame Apple for this, for all the things that I dislike Apple for.
Let's say screwing Apple. Come on. It's like if you buy something, it should be yours forever.
And in theory, you can make it yours forever
like
if you download it.
A house or a car or a wife.
But if you want those things, you should probably make sure you have it physically. In this situation, that'd be like if you try to buy Siri.
That was a joke. I don't want to get kicked off the internet again.
Again?
You know, everybody gets kicked off every other week. So
That's true. But that'd be like trying to say that you bought Siri. She's not your wife. You just temporarily rented her, maybe. But, I mean, you said the wife thing.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of wondering, what can Siri do for me? Maybe that's the way I should have went.
She follows me on Twitter. I'll send a message to her.
The AI follows you on
the
Twitter?
Voice of Siri, the actual woman, Susan.
The woman?
Yeah. I'll see if she's free.
This is the beginning of when the robots win.
Yeah. But I mean, it is something you do have to consider that when you're buying digital, you're not buying the physical copy. So it's the same thing, like John said, if you lose those rights, or if they lose those rights, you lose your access to it. And that's kind of the bargain.
Other than the lack of clutter, Because I just don't buy into the cheapness factor, because I've never really seen a digital copy save me that much money. It's usually like, and get the Blu-ray with the digital copy for like $20, or I can get just the digital copy for 15 to $20.
Yeah, unless you're buying them from somebody who doesn't want the digital, which I've done that before.
Yeah, and I like people like that. They're my favorite people in the world.
Right.
But
sell them for like $5.
But if you go and you buy it, you know, right off of iTunes, right off of Apple.
Yeah.
They're not giving you that deal.
Nope.
No, they're charging the same amount as the retailers are. You can get Best Buy. They'll charge you the same amount as Best Buy for it.
Yeah. So what's the advantage to getting a digital copy?
Being able to be lazy and not.
I can be lazy and still buy a physical copy.
But you have to get up and change the discs. That's a lot more work.
I can still. So. I can buy the physical copy. Copy. Man, the cold medicine is hitting. I can buy the physical copy, and then I can input the digital code, and I still own it.
That's true.
And then I can put up my Vudu on my smart TV or phone or whatever. Done.
Yeah. I haven't even used my digital codes. I have all these movies, and I've never even...
What do you do with them?
I just keep forgetting. I've been meaning to spend a day and just take all of the papers out and put all the codes in online, but they're probably expired by now.
I've had that happen. That's really...
Yeah,
that's
it's a sad bummer.
It's a sad day. You ever had that, John, where you're like, man, I had that happen with Sicario when the sequel came out. I'm like, I really want to rewatch Sicario.
Oh.
Thank God I got that digital copy that expired in 2017 or something like that.
What a bummer.
I never have the wherewithal to go ahead and get the digital copies. I just, you know, I open it up and I watch the disc and that's it. I never mess with the digital copies.
Do you get them? They come with them.
No.
Movie, right?
No, sometimes they do, and I don't, and that's not why I'm buying it. I normally just buy it just for the physical copy, and I just leave it at that.
Oh, you know what you could do is you could just give those to me, and then I save a ton of money because I don't have to buy those anymore.
Yeah, but see, the movies that I buy on physical version are only movies that I love, which are likely movies you're going to only buy on physical version. So,
what's the point of that? sell the codes to people who are all digital streaming, and then they can't even.
I don't have the energy for that. Like, that's where my laziness kicks in. My laziness kicks in is like, what? I got to put it on. I got to go to Reddit of all freaking places.
No,
screw Reddit.
Nobody should ever go to Reddit. No.
Yeah.
Unless you're promoting this podcast. That's the only
then
way.
Then go. Right. Yeah.
So I got to go to Reddit, try to sell it, and then I got to hope that somebody doesn't do like a get money return thing on me through PayPal or something to sell it to them. Yeah, it's that's too much. And the reason why I ever buy anything
on
digital.
You're fascinating, man, to listen to. You have all these rules, man. I don't know how you walk through life.
It's easy. But again, I'll buy something digitally if it's something I just really like. If I'm going to be the only one watching it, that's the only time I buy it. Digitally.
All right. Well, people should just know if you're buying the license, so they can retract that at any time they want. And you can send all the emails you want, and Apple's just going to be like, we still have our own kind of money. We print our own money here. They don't care.
Always download your copies.
Yep.
Yes, apparently. I didn't know that was necessary, but now I got to go spend all that bandwidth so I can make sure I have a copy.
I wonder how, I mean, I don't know the technical aspects behind it.
Obviously.
Obviously. how do you still have access to it when it's, I mean, it's downloaded, but can't they just like remove that? Or
do you have to use
all of your storage space?
No. They're saying you have to have at least downloaded it to a device once. And then I guess that proves that you really, really want it.
So you just have to watch it.
No, you don't have to watch it. You just have to download it. It's what Apple said.
No, and they're saying that if you lose that download, it's gone forever. You can't re-download it.
But if you've downloaded it, they're saying if you have downloaded it, you can re-download it. There are some that you're going to lose a license to, but if you've downloaded it, you will always have it in your library. That's the way I understood it. But it's going to change tomorrow, so who cares? You know what? Someone will correct us. Let's move on to the more exciting story. Les Moonves. Did I say that right? Or Moonvesy? I don't know. How do you say that?
But I'm not the person
ways.
For that.
Les Moonves.
I don't think that's right.
Wow, that's cold medicine talk. You go French for cold medicine?
I am so doped up.
We clearly don't watch enough reality TV.
The most powerful man in television. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy in charge, or was the guy in charge of CBS. He just got Harvey Weinstein his way out of CBS. Now, they did an internal investigation. They didn't release the results, but he's stepping out. He's out as CEO of CBS due to harassment claims. We don't want to wade into these waters because I know this is something that's been talked about ad nauseum. It's kind of a big turnoff for people listening to a podcast like ours. You know, they want to listen to something light and fluffy. You know, we're light. We're fluffy. But sometimes we talk about serious things. like Olivia Munn in the Patreon episode. But this is a, as a person who is legitimately the most powerful to have fallen in the realm of television. It's a huge story. And his wife is Julie Chen, who was on, what, Big Brother?
Big Brother.
She just quit the talk. She was on the talk and she just quit because they can't skip that topic. It's a huge topic. So she's not going back to that show, but she's going to stay at Big Brother. And she just supported her husband, which, you know, I guess you would expect. I just kind of want to know, like, broad strokes. We're all tired of these stories, but do you think that Hollywood is actually changing its ways at this point?
It's hard to say whether or not it's actually changing while it's happening. Maybe this is just a string. Maybe this is just something that's going on right now. Maybe it'll go back to the way it was and everyone will start being quiet about it again. But with as much happening and as quickly as it's going on right now, it has to be changing. It reminds me of the 80s and 90s when sexual harassment in normal corporate America was being shined a light on more and more and more and more, to the point where you can't have people in an office without having a serious conversation sometimes without having human resources there and part of the conversation. So, and there to witness everything. So it has to be changing, and maybe it's going to be changing to the same way corporate America did, but we won't really know for sure until after the fact, I guess.
Yeah, the biggest thing that sucks about this situation, though, is that Hollywood doesn't really have an HR necessarily. They have lawyers.
They have the public.
But that's what it comes down to, is it's the public's opinion, which is much different than corporate America, where you actually have people who are, you know, typically unbiased, where they're going to just do the investigation and be around to ensure that there is fair treatment of everyone and there's not harassment situations arising. But when you have Hollywood, you don't really necessarily have that. You only have the aftermath resolution, which doesn't resolve anything. So are we going to continue to probably have problems? Sure. But at least at this point, I'm hopeful that the people who come forward about their cases are legitimate when they do present them, and that all of the situations get investigated, but that we don't disbelieve the victim and we don't automatically, you know, assume that that person is guilty of all of those crimes.
I don't think we should persecute people and, you know.
Right. You kind of have to play the even field. You know, you can have some skepticism. And obviously, if someone has an allegation, just like in corporate America, you remove them from the situation for possible, you know, you don't want to continue to put them in a situation where
CBS did the right thing, did an internal investigation. So to me, these things seem like they are changing. They are finally, and I've said this since this started, since Me Too started. This is where corporate America was like 15, 20 years ago. So Hollywood, as progressive as they think they are so late to this game. You know, I remember having meetings where you would actually have to have an HR representative there because of circumstances like that, because that's just, they wanted to protect everybody involved. You know, you just want to make sure it's a secure environment, it's safe, and it's a safe place, that sort of thing. Now Hollywood's acting like, well, this whole time, you know, now we're making some changes. Well, you should have made them 15, 20 years ago, but I'm glad you're making them now.
Yeah, well, then they also had the issue that films, what Hollywood is actually, you know, good for is making these films and television shows. They were implementing the things that we've been, hey, this isn't cool, you can't do this to people. They were implementing it into their programs.
I don't know what you mean.
So when you watch a movie, if you go back and you look at the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and so on and so forth, you see how women were mistreated and harassed and assaulted on a regular basis and
Norman
intimidated.
Bates killed people.
And you had those constant situations, and it was normalized. It was normalized for people to produce those situations.
Hey, Dahl, I'm just kidding with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy when you actually look back and you think this was okay, this was normal. But when you have it put out into the public and that's what they're receiving, all of those people on the sets, it comes to a point where it's like, I've sacrificed my everything to get into Hollywood to try to pursue this career. I have nothing left. I can't return to my family at this point because I have no money to get back there. I have to try to pursue this, and they're put in a bad situation. And so it was normalized. It was just, okay, well, this is part of the gig if I want to do it. And for so many years, that's how it was. And it's finally, I think it is actually starting to change.
That's good.
Where that isn't, you don't expect that to be normal.
I just think they're the last ones to the game.
They are. Oh, they definitely are. Definitely.
Everything I've ever been involved in or worked with or anything else is already here. And Hollywood's just catching up.
Yeah.
But I'm glad a CEO of his stature, that's a big fish.
I mean, that's two people, Weinstein and him. Those are two big names that they're...
They could start their own little club. They could start a podcast. Who wouldn't listen to that? I mean, it'd be fascinating. No, everybody would listen to it, and they just curse
They'd
at it
cringe.
All the time.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just them from cell block C talking about, you know, whatever.
Prison life.
Yeah, so that's pretty fascinating. It'd be interesting to see what happens with CBS in the future.
Did you drop the soap today?
Let's...
Man.
Come over to my cell.
Let's find out.
All right, so let's go to more exciting news. Veronica Mars is returning to Hulu for an 8-part series. It's confirmed. We know it was reported a couple weeks ago, but now it's confirmed. And we were off for a couple weeks, so we couldn't really mention that. Are you excited? We're kind of marshmallows here. John, do you watch this? Did you ever watch
it? No.
Oh, well, you're excused from this entire conversation because you suck at life. Amanda, are you excited?
I am thrilled. I'm so excited. I'm happy that they're bringing... I mean, it's going to be Kristen Bell that they're actually bringing back for it. So it's not like they're trying to reboot it with different cast. They're bringing back the individuals who made it what it was. It would not be Veronica Mars if there was no Kristen Bell. I'm so excited about it.
I'm so excited.
And I just can't hide it.
Now, John, I didn't mean to make that a whole karaoke moment, but John, are you going to watch it? Are you going to catch up? Do you know what Veronica Mars is? It's about it was a teenage detective, but now she's an adult. And
she was in the FBI.
In Neptune, California. Nothing ringing a bell?
Be nope. Cool, soda pop.
The girl on The Good Place was in this
forking
cool show called Veronica Mars. It was way better than The Good Place. And she solved crimes every week while also focusing. She did what Jessica Jones should do every season, which is solve one crime every week, but also have it over arc of over the entire season.
Yep. And the relationships continued to build, and you learned about the overarching story that Aaron was talking about, but you also got to engage yourself in whatever the mystery was of that week. And then you also got to enjoy the beautiful relationship between Veronica and her dad, Keith, because that was, let's be honest, one of the best parts of that show, aside from the dialogue.
I'm not watching it.
You're not watching it because you have daddy issues? Or do you want to talk about it?
No, at this point, I'm not watching it just to be an argumentative.
Oh, contrarian. That's cool. That's
hip now.
We don't
like you either.
You're like Twitter. You're like the Twitter of the hoe.
Yeah.
You're hitter. Hoitter.
What? That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
Mm-mm. So you have no intention to watch this fantastic show we just described to you ad nauseum.
No, I don't really feel like watching this show because there's so many new things that are coming about and I don't want to catch up on something else that didn't interest me the first time it came around and it still doesn't interest me now.
What's it like being so sad, Panda?
I'm not sad. I'm actually happy.
Wow, that was not convincing.
Wow. I'm not sad. I'm really happy.
Leave me and my therapy bill alone, okay?
Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group or on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. Patreon, okay? So we do different things on Patreon. And Patreon is basically like a way for the Hollywood Outsider to be supported. For you guys to support us, and it basically pays all the expenses because there are bills to a podcast. If you're interested, go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And you sign up, pick a tier, and you get bonus content with certain tiers. So check it out. Hope you enjoy it. There's a lot of fun episodes on there.
You can
Bad Movie Night, where we take a movie that some people think is bad, and we try to find the good in it or the worst in it. And also our monthly bonus episode where we talk about stuff we don't normally talk about. What'd you say, Amanda?
Oh, I was going to say you can also pay if you want to be alongside our voices.
Yeah, next week we're going to have a Patreon supporter, and Nate Bruce is coming on, and he's going to, take part. Okay, we're going to get into our From the Outside In topic, and joining us for that is Troy Heinrichs from The Blacklist Exposed and Beyond Westworld. So now let's just get into the topic this week, fall TV preview. We're going to talk about our most anticipated TV shows. We're going to talk about our most anticipated returning shows. Now, obviously, we can't talk about everything, but we're going to try and hit some of the bigger ones, as well as a couple of shows we really want to just die. Just go away. Stop coming back.
A painful, horrible death.
Right.
Throw them down a set of stairs.
So we're going to do this round robin. Okay, so we have our top three, and we're just going to go. We'll go Troy, Amanda, John, me. Troy, Amanda, John, me. And we'll go around until we're done. And then if there's any honorable mentions for new shows, that's fine. But after that, Amanda, we stop.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it won't come up. But all right, let's start with you, Troy, because you have seen one of these. Do you want to start with that one?
No, I want to be the first.
Okay.
Am I the first?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Oh. Look at that. You're trying to be clever and tie it all in with that crappy Sean Penn show. I mean, that I'm sure wonderful Sean Penn show.
Have you already seen the Sean Penn show? Is that what you're saying? It's crappy?
No, I have not, because it has Sean Penn in it. And I have a hard and fast rule that if Sean Penn's there, I could be doing anything else. So I do that. I go do something else.
Anything else.
Yeah.
My first rule of thumb is anything that has to do with Mars, I'm there, no matter who's in it.
Mm.
That's fair. That's fair. And I wish they would send Sean Penn to Mars. I think that would be a great advantage to the world. Go ahead, Troy. What is the first?
He most likely will not survive on potatoes alone.
See, I heard about the show, and I really thought like Sean Penn is just going to be a 60-year-old man who loses his virginity. That's not what happens. So what is the first about?
The first is coming to Hulu, and it is the next chapter in Mars Entertainment. No. Not the Veronica Mars Entertainment, although that is coming to Hulu as well. Whoop.
We just talked
about it. No, I'm talking about the planet Mars and the crew that will journey there to be the first. What if you were going to be the first person to walk on Mars? What thoughts would be going through your head? Maybe even your loved one's head. Well, season one will stay heavily grounded on Earth to give us less Interstellar, more Apollo 13 in terms of character building and believability. And it does star Sean Penn, also Truman's Fiji gal, Natasha McElhone, and your resident Mossad agent, Oded Fehr, as well as Alias alum Melissa George.
Mm.
The first blasts off September 21st on Hulu with 8 episodes for the first season.
That might get me on board. Melissa George.
Really?
Wasn't he the gigolo?
Oded Fehr was also in The Blacklist, yes.
Wasn't he the gigolo, though? Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And The Mummy, yeah. I think get Sean Penn out of that show. It would be really good.
I didn't reference the movies because it is a TV section here, Aaron.
I
was talking more Blacklist, Covert Affairs.
My apologies, but he was.
Oded Fehr is awesome. He's awesome. As is Melissa George. She was.
Are you the one of you guys? The other two. Are you interested in Sean Penn's new show?
Mm-mm. I'm not crazy about him. I did see his latest drama though.
Well, until today, you thought this was a Buffy spinoff. So.
Well, once he brought that up, I was like, he said those words. I was like, wait, what? What do you mean, Slayer?
Obviously, Hulu has not been marketing well.
No. I honestly didn't even know about the show until I honestly saw his drama. That's it. That's the only reason I heard about it. So their marketing is very poor.
His drama.
You didn't know about it either after Aaron told you to go Google it either. That's why you thought it was a Buffy show.
Yeah, he just...
His interview where he just made... Yeah. Where they're talking about Me Too, and he's like, man, like, this movement is bad. Just divides men and women.
Maybe this isn't the discussion you should have right before the launch of your show.
You know what's sad is, like, he had a... If you listen to him, he had an interesting point. He just said it in all the wrong ways. It was just like a fantastic dichotomy of good logic... Really bad choice of word, and sounding like you are just smarter than everybody else involved,
mm-hmm.
which is what he does. John, do you want to go to Mars with Sean Penn?
No, only because it just seems like too quiet of a show for me. Not that I have anything against anyone involved. I actually like Sean Penn in one or two roles. So, yeah, but it just doesn't seem like anything that's my cup of tea. It's just too... I don't know, too slow, too boring.
It's too dark, it's too grim, it's too slow, it's too boring. Is there any crap you like?
What, grubby pants?
Not really.
Oh, wow. I just went to
definitely not you anymore, Troy.
Wow.
No, I like Troy. He's pulling my hair. I like it when you pull my hair.
Oh.
This is arousal? Got so weird. All right, so now it's to Amanda.
The room is dark.
So should I start with my number three or my number one?
Doesn't matter. It's your order. Okay. We're not going to cross paths. We're not going to cross the stream. So
that's fine. My number one I'm most anticipated for is The Rookie because Nathan Fillion. But also, it's a really interesting show. It's coming out on ABC October 16th. It's a crime drama based on the true events, which follows John Nolan, who becomes the oldest rookie cop at the LAPD at 40 years old, which is why Nathan Fillion can play this character. Because if he were just a 20-year-old rookie, he would not be able to partake anymore. So are any of you interested in seeing Nathan Fillion back on screen as a cop?
You said it's on ABC, right?
Yes.
Didn't they just bring back Castle instead?
Whoa.
No, they clearly couldn't.
They've got Take Two now.
Same show.
Yeah. It is.
Okay.
But it's not Nathan Fillion.
He's not going back. Do you guys? I actually think this would. This looks interesting. I like the idea of it.
I say it'll probably work because it is Nathan Fillion in the same time slot that he used to occupy. So the people that miss Castle will probably jump in on this.
Definitely. Well, and he's been positively promoting it all in marketing all over Los Angeles, like really
heavily.
Because
you'd expect him to just go out there and this show's stupid.
Well, no, but he's just, I mean, he's really engaging in it in a different way where he's trying to, it's not all
about. I really
wish
Firefly would come back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, me too. But this show will at least be a nice secondary option for us until we can get Firefly.
Did you hear me ask the Castle? If you guys didn't listen to the interview, it's a great interview with the Castle creators. I asked them, or I told them I wanted Castle to get canceled. And you don't quite hear it, but there was some dead silence there for a minute.
It was a pretty entertaining interaction. Yeah. But they responded pretty nicely to
they
it.
They did, yeah. I was surprising. They understood where I was going. I'm like, you won me over.
You don't want Castle to get canceled. You wanted Castle to end.
No, I wanted to get canceled in a fireball. Because I wanted Firefly back so bad. So that first season, I was just praying that it would go away. But then it won me over. Like, it just became a really fun, quirky show. All right, John's got nothing to add to this one. So what do you got, John? What's your first new TV show?
So the first new TV show I'm going to bring to the table is The Passage. It stars Mark Paul Gosselaar and a few other people. Sanaa Sidney, Vincent Piazza, Brianne Howie. It's from Fox, and it's the basis of this is it's based off of author Justin Cronin's best-selling trilogy by the same name. The Passage is an epic, character-driven thriller about secret government medical facility experimenting on dangerous virus that could either cure all diseases or cause a downfall of the human race. I like those either-or kind of things. You know, we might burn up in flames, or we're gonna live. It's gonna be great. It does look really great. I'm glad to see Mark Paul Gosselaar doing something a little different for himself. It seems more like an action-y fun thing to do, and it might fill a few of the TV hours for me out there. I'll give it 3 episodes for sure.
It seems interesting. I like your sell of it for sure. The most positive and most negative aspects possible.
Can they have an episode called Saved by the Bell?
I hope so.
Here's hoping. Psh.
Well, it definitely doesn't sound dark or grim or boring or anything, so.
No, it sounds, yeah, it does.
You're trying to get at something. I don't know what it is.
I think he's saying you need a hug, like, every day. Every day. All right, so mine, Into the Dark, my first one, Into the Dark. October 5th, it's on Hulu, so the times are open. You can watch it whenever the hell you want. It's like Castle Rock. It's produced by Blumhouse, so Jason Blum. It's Hulu's Into the Dark is once a month anthology series. So it's once a month, you get 12 episodes, and it plays off a holiday in each month of release. So the first episode is The Body, comes out October 5th and takes place on Halloween night in L.A. So you're going to have like that, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You see where I'm going with this. And it's a really interesting setup for a TV show. It's meant to be a horror anthology. So it's like a horror version of Black Mirror. And it just sounds very, very cool.
Mm. So you're saying, did you say 12 episodes per month?
No, 12 episodes total. One per month.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was like, wow, they're really releasing quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a movie that was the same concept?
Yeah, there was. Kevin Smith was one of the directors on it, too.
Tales of Halloween or something like that? No, what was the name of it? We covered it here.
Yeah, you guys covered it here.
Because I interviewed the directors of that one. I can't remember the name of it. Well, we suck at this. But Into the Dark comes out October 5th. It looks like a really cool and interesting show. I love anthologies because I'm totally fine. Yes, Amanda?
Holidays.
That's it.
Holidays. That's the
holidays.
One.
Good job. We have an interview with them on here somewhere. Check your feed. Oh, she's like a resident researcher. Hashtag.
Or maybe not, because it apparently wasn't that good, I guess. These guys can't remember.
I liked it.
I didn't ever see it. I wanted to. I just never got around to it.
It's like anything else. The vignettes are very, you know, hit or miss. But there's a couple that are great.
Mm.
There's
I
one,
heard
I think
good
the one with Jocelyn Donahue is great in that one.
And Holidays was not Blumhouse?
No.
No, it's not. No.
Okay.
But they're totally taking that kind. Hey, it's how are you going to – who hasn't done a holiday movie? I really hope Thanksgiving is that Eli Roth movie that was in Grindhouse. That would be great. That's the only Eli Roth movie I want
to
see in my
life. I was about to say that's the only Eli Roth movie you'd want to see.
It sure is. Yep, absolutely.
From a television concept, I like the idea, though.
Yeah.
So one episode every month.
Yeah, and it's like an entire year. Feature length. So you still get 12 episodes, like a good series run, but you get one a month. So you're not burned out. I like it.
No, and the imagery
when you watch Memorial Day.
What's that?
So what happens when you watch Memorial Day, though, and it gets canceled before Labor Day? Does that mean you're just stuck in summer forever?
I think we just move on, Troy. I mean, it's okay. The world will be okay.
I feel like I'm stuck in summer forever.
Florida life.
Yeah, Florida life.
It is never going to change. I the imagery they released with the trailer for this one really has me fascinated. It looks like they're putting a lot of thought into it, and it's gorgeous to look at at least the trailer is concerned. So I can't wait to see what they really do with this series. So it has me excited strictly on an imagery stance.
Yeah, Hulu's really stepping up their game.
They are.
With the original series, so.
They definitely are. Yeah. It took them a while.
They like dark stuff, too. There's nothing happy going on in that network.
That's a good point.
So it should be John's channel, huh? I'm sorry. I don't know, you feel like you're being picked on. We don't like bullies here. All right, Troy.
Am I being picked on?
Troy was picking on you, totally. Yeah, I would kick his ass.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Who's Troy?
3 o'clock high.
Meet Who's him. Troy?
Troy, you're up.
Jerk. All right.
What a rebuttal.
Million Little Things. James Rodet returns to the small screen to share life with his friends that all met after being trapped on an elevator many moons ago. Only now they have reunited due to a tragedy that happened amongst them. This one also stars Cylon Grace Park, Terra Nova's Allison Miller, and Rob Livingston from Office Space. So why don't you spend some time with your friends not named John and check out ABC's Sure to Be Tearjerker on Wednesday at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Can I just say James Rodet is the only reason I want to watch that show.
Well, obviously.
Not Grace Park. And hey, look, Grace Park landed on her feet.
Yeah, I know. We were also worried about Grace. It's, you know she's not a great act. I mean, the range is very limited. It's small apartment range. It's not mansion size range.
It's Chicago apartment range.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, she's good at what she does, which is standing. But it's just not somebody I really rush out to check out. But James Rodet is, I love Psych. Talked about it about every episode, I think, of this podcast. And to see him do something more dramatic, more serious, I think is fascinating. But I don't like shows like this. So it's going to be hard for me to be invested. I don't like This Is Us and shows like that. I just have a hard time watching those week to week.
Because you have no heart, sir.
I don't. Family dramas. I got enough family dramas. I don't need it.
Well, I think it looks great, and I'm super excited for it. I love these
kinds
of shows.
Kindred spirits.
Right. We are. I have a feeling our reoccurring shows that are coming back up are probably going to be aligned. Maybe.
I'm Maybe. A pass.
Okay.
Why are you a pass?
It's a huggy feely. I love each. I love you. It's probably gonna try to feel like work with or work against This Is Us, and I don't need it.
It's gonna be too depressing for John. I think is the issue.
Too many feelings.
Can we pay you to be more upbeat, even when you say downbeat stuff? Like, hey, you know, it's just too happy and it's too feely and I just can't do it. Thanks for coming and buy a new car.
Who said anything about happy and feely? As I understand it, This Is Us makes people cry on a regular basis. The fact that I don't watch that show makes me healthy.
That's not true. It's good to get those tears out. And a lot of times it's tears of happiness and joy. And you're just like, oh,
that's
my gosh, this
true.
Is so amazing.
It's the number of calories you burn crying versus sulking is so many more.
See?
Who the hell's sulking?
You.
I'm not
you
saying.
Sad puppet.
All right, so who's up? Is that you, Amanda?
I think so. Yeah.
All right, better up.
So The Haunting of Hill House is a series that's coming to Netflix. Yes.
John got excited.
Finally, something does it.
Somebody dies in the show, right?
It's a horror drama. Drama, so yeah.
Drama.
It's actually a modern reimagining of Shirley Jackson's classic 1959 novel, but it seems like it's going to turn out really great. It follows a group of siblings who, as children, grew up in what would go on to become the most famous haunted house in the country as tragedy forces them, now adults, back to the house to confront the ghosts of the past. Again, it is on Netflix. It's got Carla, I don't know how to say her name, Gugino?
Gugino.
Gugino, oof. There we go.
Googie.
Kate Siegel, Michael Huseman, however you Heisman. Say it. Heisman. I didn't get that right at all. And Elizabeth Reaser. Hopefully I got her name right. I'm terrible at these.
It's not like they're listening, so I don't care.
That's true. So I'm really excited College about Gino's it. It's dark.
I did not know that.
Yeah. She's like one of the main people.
I watched
people.
The trailer. I don't remember. Man.
Trailer comes out tomorrow.
I watched like a, maybe it was just a title images. Card. It was just images, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they released images on the 27th or something. And then the trailer comes out the when this podcast released.
I didn't see her name. So, man, yeah. Now I'm super excited.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be really, really good from what I've heard, the talkings around it. It's supposed to be great.
On the internet?
Yeah. Well, I follow one of the writers, so he retweets everything that's positive. Oh. So, of course.
Well, what it seems like they're going to do with this one is as opposed to the early aughts movie based off the same thing,
mm-hmm.
they're actually going further back to the original movie and using it more as a cerebral haunting as opposed to like flashy in your face kind of haunting. So it has the potential of being much more intense than something that's flashy in your face.
Hmm.
Sure.
Okay. It's more cerebral.
Yeah.
All right. I can get on board with that. So it's not going to be a bunch of jump scares and that sort of thing. It's going to be mental horror. Psychological horror.
Yeah, it seems like it's supposed to be a little bit more creepy. I don't really like jump scary type stuff. So
the only thing that worries me, I mean, how many episodes? Like 10 probably?
I think they're
all 10 on Netflix now. They've kind of changed their mantra.
Say. It comes out October 12th though, so just in time for Halloween.
Very cool.
Yeah, they've only got 2 episodes listed on Google.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's more than 2.
They're going to have 10. They always have 10. All right. So, John, what do
or
you.
Or 8.
Or 8. Yeah, that's true. But that's usually Amazon because they can't afford the extra 2. So, John, what's your second one? I'm sorry. I made myself laugh.
My second one is coming up on September 21st, also on Netflix, Maniac. 2 strangers are drawn to a mysterious pharmaceutical trial that will, they're assured, with no complications or side effects whatsoever, so solve all of the problems permanently. Things do not go as planned. I like the whole idea of things not going on as planned. This stars Jonah Hill and Emma Stone. This is getting a lot of buzz. The imagery of it looks great, and I like the idea of seeing these two people doing something on Netflix.
It's a really high as a kite scenario.
So it's the Legion for Netflix? Is that what we're calling it?
I mean, I think so. It feels like it's in their heads, right? Like they're all over the place, and it's because they're all over the place mentally. That's where the name comes from, and they're just bouncing around. So they're living different scenarios in their minds is the way I'm understanding it. Yeah.
There's some mommy issues in it too.
How do you know that?
Because I read up on it. One of the, I won't tell you who, I don't know if it's a spoiler or not.
It's
got to
be
so.
Jonah Hill. He looks like a mommy issue kind of guy.
But it says something about how one of the characters is dealing with mother issues and an emotionally complex computer.
And he looks like,
which is weird,
very athletic in this.
Oh, yeah, he looks really buff great. Now. Have you seen the pictures of him leaving the gym?
I thought that was photoshopped.
I don't think so.
There are some that are photoshopped, which makes him look ridiculous. And then there are some that he just looks like a normal human being at this point, as opposed to like whatever the ridiculous Photoshop swollen thing was that people were passing around as him.
Wow.
I mean, he's added quite a bit of muscle for Jonah Hill.
Good.
He looks totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. He does look totally different.
I mean, he kind of looks a little attractive now.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. That one's only 8 episodes because they probably bought that from Amazon. I think Amazon's the only network that only does 8. I still want those extra 2 for Jack Ryan.
Yeah, me too.
I don't.
Oh, my God. Troy's the only person I've talked to that didn't like Jack Ryan. Yeah, he
What's
didn't like
wrong
Jack.
With you?
It didn't end the way I wanted.
It was great for 7 episodes, and then it was like, oh, this is a great book ending. Just wasn't a great TV ending.
It was a great ending.
You're wrong.
What?
I mean, you're like right, if right was the opposite of right.
A.K.A. you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's why I lean left on this issue.
All right. Well, speaking of left, God Friended Me, September 30th on CBS, 8 p.m. Eastern. Brandon Michael Hall stars in this humorous, uplifting drama as Miles Finer, an outspoken atheist whose life is turned upside down when he receives a friend request on social media from God. That's right. Big G, as I like to call him. And unwittingly becomes an agent of change in the lives and destinies of people around him. Why, you might ask, is God Friended Him on my list? It's because I love shows that are uplifting that aren't family shows. Family shows bore the crap out of me. Stuff like this, I liked, what was the one with the angel? Touched by an Angel.
Oh, my.
I like those.
Sort of Arcadia.
Yeah, I just like shows where, you know, it's, they're mixing an atheist view with a religious view, and they're kind of trying to meet in the middle. They're actually trying to look at both sides. If you watch the trailer, it seems like it. I mean, it could totally not be what the show is at all. But it felt like this is the kind of show we need today. It feels like so many people are only picking one side of a lane, and nobody wants to drive down the middle. And this feels like the kind of show that could be both upbeat and uplifting and bring people a little bit more to the middle. And I want that. I think we need that. It'll probably be the first show to get canceled, but we need that. It's probably way too upbeat for today's modern television.
Spoiler alert.
It might do okay. It's not, when you hear the name, I feel like you automatically think it's going to be this really religious and, you know, Christian values being pushed in your face.
No, I think it's a contrast. If you watch the trailer, it's
right. That's what I'm saying. But just by the name, you might be inclined to think that that's how it is. But it really does try to align the character, not with an atheist, I would say more agnostic type of approach where they're not really sure either way.
CBS said atheist. I'm going with the network.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess so, but that would mean that they believe in the devil, and that's okay. Or they don't believe in God at all, not even the possibility. So
right, that's what atheism is.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. He does have the possibility of believing in a God. So
that's agnostic.
That would be agnostic.
Hey, I don't work for CBS.
I'm just saying,
obviously,
maybe they should have done a little more research.
Is the one that wrote this on his way out the door.
But it seems like they, like you said, that they're trying to find that middle ground. I don't think it's too, it seems like it has the added aspect of religion, but that's not really the entire story.
No, it's more about
because
people.
It's mystery too. Mm-hmm. Like why am I drawn to this person? Why am I placed in this person's life right now? What do I need to do?
Is this really
help
Zuckerberg? You know, yeah. Who's God?
Yeah. It kind of reminded me a little bit of True Calling in a weird way, but like a much more religious and upbeat version, because she was always placed in somebody's life. Someone was always put in her path, and she had to figure out why that person.
If it's like True Calling, this is going to be great.
I know, right? Can we get Eliza Dushku on this?
That's the only way I'm going to watch it.
That's the only way I'm going to watch it.
Really?
All right. Well,
you're not interested
like
at all,
like I said,
Troy?
It'll be canceled quick, but nope. It looks interesting. Well,
there was
it's on the network with the three letters C, B, and S.
God,
there was a show last season that was about a guy trying to live his life by the Bible, and that didn't make it very far either.
But it's not like they're trying to live religiously. He has that. I don't think
he's actually not religious, and right? It's forcing. It's he's intrigued. You just have to watch the trailer. I mean, I described it, and I think that does enough. And I think if you watch the first episode, maybe you'll feel different about it.
90% of the demographic for CBS doesn't watch the trailers. They pick up the TV guide in their newspaper, and they're going to see God, Friend, and Me, and they're going to go, oh, it's a God show, and they're going to turn it off.
Maybe.
That's the problem. The marketing for the show is going to suffer because of what they called the show. Unfortunately, that's a sad state that we're in that case, but that's probably what's going to happen.
Maybe they should have said, Who Friended Me?
Right.
Or A Friend from Above.
And the twist becomes the fact that it's God, and that's the twist, and that's what hooks you to watch the show.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Or Friended by an Angel.
Roma Funny. Downey shows up.
Friend of Arcadia.
All right. Better last your number three, Troy.
My number three is Manifest. When a brother and sister decide to take a flight separate from the rest of the family, including parents, children, spouses, and guess what? The inevitable happens. That's right. No, they don't land in Guam, and they definitely do not land on a mysterious island, even though their flight number does start with an 8. But they do land in the future. Now, did they actually arrive in the future as themselves, or did they arrive in the future as something more? Not only will the show explore the passengers' lives post-incident, but we'll also learn about those that were left behind as well. It stars Once Upon a Time's alum Josh Dallas and Dog Day's own Heather Hills herself, a.k.a. Melissa Roxborough. Manifest will land in your living room September 24th at 10 Eastern Pacific, 9 Central on NBC.
This is the one you watched the pilot, right?
I have watched the pilot, and I will tell you this.
Okay, don't spoil.
Melissa does an okay job playing the angsty 20-something-year-old. Josh Dallas is just Josh Dallas. He kind of is like, where's Jennifer Goodwin? Where's Jennifer Goodwin?
Nobody gets that but
everybody knows that Josh Dallas and Jennifer got married.
Yeah.
When they were on Once Upon a Time.
I had no idea. I've never even watched Once Upon a Time.
Well, then you should read more Deadline. I think overall it was a well-paced pilot. I think there was enough mystery and intrigue, and I did like the twist at the end. So all I will say is, if you're a fan of the 4400, then this show will be for you.
So you would not compare it to Lost?
I would. That's the number one thing I would absolutely not do. If they say, oh, it's the next Lost, it's going to die a horrible death. The plane crashes before it ever lands. This is not a Lost show. This is a character-driven. There's reasons why the people that went into the future went in the future. There's reasons why the people that stayed in the past stayed in the past. And I really, really dig the concept that they're trying to play off. The question is, can they do it for multiple seasons?
Can you see multiple seasons based on what you've seen?
Oh, I could. Yeah, it was definitely a very much a standalone episode. There's a case of the week kind of feel to it with a larger overarching story. Mm-hmm. So as long as they can keep those interesting, it could definitely have legs.
All right, I'm on board.
And it does have the post voice time slot on Monday night, so that'll give it a boost right off the bat anyway.
Yeah, NBC needs a show like that.
I think it looks great. I'm really interested in it.
It had some weird pacing issues midway through the episode.
Oh, let me guess, it was 20 minutes too long, Troy?
No, it was I don't know if it was just because it was the pre-release cut, you know, screener version or whatever, but it just seemed like it was edited awkwardly in about the, you know, 15 to 20 minute mark.
That is weird. You'll have to catch it once it actually premieres and see if there's a difference between.
Yeah, maybe it was a pre-release.
I will watch it again when it premieres. I thought it was decent enough to watch again.
That's good.
All right, Amanda, what do you got?
So my third is Legacies, which is going to be on the CW. So all of the teen angsty feels are in this.
Woot woot.
It's a spinoff from The Vampire Diaries and The Originals. If you're not familiar with it, it's still going to be based in the town of Mystic Falls, has a new generation of protectors in the spinoff. The Salvatore School for the Young and Gifted is home to Klaus Mikkelsen's daughter, Hope, Alaric's twins, Lizzie and Josie, and the other young adults who are coming of age as witches, vampires, and werewolves, nurtured to be their best selves and overcome their villainous impulses. Together, they rely on ancient folklore and tales to learn how to battle their far-reaching enemies and attempt to keep balance in the world. So it has very similar feels to the original shows. I would say much more like Vampire Diaries than the originals, because the originals was much darker, but it does take in, obviously, Alaric and those werewolf elements. So it kind of reminds me of if we were to combine that world with X-Men, I guess, because they have this school which is devoted to those character types.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of what they're reaching for, and I hope they do well with it, but I hope it's not too childish, because that's the biggest fear I had watching the trailers, that it might be a little too, might be reaching a little bit too far down on the age scale here for me. But that is going to be on the CW, and it premieres October 25th. Anybody?
Not really, but it does look like it's going to be an okay show, and I'm sure they've already got the audience built into the CW to go ahead and watch that. It'd be hard to believe that. Didn't one of those two shows just end this last year?
Intentionally. So Julie Pluck tried, you know, all of the shows that she's created, The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and now this show, she's intentionally paced it and stopped it where she wanted it to stop to start up the next. So she's, you know, the good thing is when you're watching these shows, it's not like she's trying to drag them out too long or stop them too short. She knows what she's doing. And she's got it planned out pretty well. Like I said, my only fear is just that this is going to be a little bit too young for me. I don't mind teen angsty shows, but I feel like this might be, with the main characters being so young, they kind of remind me of like 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds.
They're all going to be looking off into the distance, thinking about that one.
I just hope it's not like Twilight. I'm really fearful of that. But if they can reach into, you know, the darkness that the originals had, we might have a good step.
So if it's the originals and the legacies, which one in the timeline comes first?
So, well, because this is directly off of the originals. So this is, it would be Vampire Diaries, then the originals, and then legacies in terms of timeline.
But it's called the originals and the legacies, so shouldn't it go in the past? I'm confused.
I thought, yeah.
The new show is legacies.
Right, but what he's asking is where in the timeline of this universe is it? Because I thought the originals actually happened before
the Vampire Diaries.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, you watched it. I guess you would know.
I haven't finished the originals. So I guess if they did time swapping, but it just wouldn't make sense, I don't think.
Oh, it's like the originals are
the originals are the original vampires,
but it takes place in the post Vampire Diaries timeline.
The originals are the original vampires, but they're still alive in modern day, right?
Right.
Gotcha.
So the legacies actually would take place then before the Vampire Diaries because they're legacy.
No, they are.
Oh my god! Can somebody make a pie chart?
No, the characters. So Alaric is like the dad, and it's his daughters are going to be part of this. But that
leaving a legacy.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So there, I mean, like if you think of the vampire.
God, this makes me want to watch Arrow instead.
Right. So
it's
does.
Not nice.
So does.
Isn't he in jail this season? Let's just watch that.
He is in jail this season.
Does he do a lot of pull-ups in jail?
Of course he does. He's probably doing
He'll figure
ladders.
Out a way to salmon ladder in jail.
He'll do it sideways and he'll just do it from bar to bar as he goes down like sideways down the on the row.
Oh. Holding himself parallel to the floor.
That would be actually really cool. That's how strong he is. I can see Stephen Amell doing that. All right, Johnny, what do you got? Number three.
My number three, also from Netflix, on October 21st. Shit.
Sounds good.
Yeah, October 21st. So we have The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's based off of the old comic book and Sabrina the Teenage Witch TV show, a whole new reimagining. As her 16th birthday nears, Sabrina must choose between the witch world of her family and the human world of her friends, based off the Archie comic, and it stars Kiernan Shipka, which she's actually has a background from Mad Men. So she played Don Draper's daughter in Mad Men, and she was actually pretty great, I thought, as far as characters go, and as being as young of an actress she was back then, she was pretty strong. And I like the idea of redoing the Sabrina this Teenage Witch, but taking out some of the kiddish aspects of the Melissa Joan Hart series and going back to more of a shadowy, darker image.
I don't want to hear you talk bad about Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I didn't talk bad about Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
It's not like you had a little...
This is just completely different than Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay,
right.
I just better
more
not
dark.
Be hearing some bad feelings over there.
It's a weird place to put your flag, really.
Yeah. Aaron may murder the cat puppet, but
yeah. Can I clarify? Because I don't understand something here. So I was reading an article and they said that Sabrina is half human, half witch.
Yes.
What the hell does that mean? Like, are witches not human? They're just,
it's like a muggle. It's like Harry Potter.
I just don't understand the difference here.
You're not born that way.
So explain to me, because basically you're saying one's a witch and a human get together. They're not. Oh, I get it, because Harry Potter is like a wizard, and they have the magic in the blood.
Half wizard, half muggle, half human.
So like Hermione, she's a muggle. She and Harry Potter. She has the ability to do all of these things and perform witchcraft, but she is a human born. Her parents are dentists.
Okay.
So she kind of like has to learn that craft.
It feels like a slight on dentists. I mean, what's wrong with dentistry?
Well, the whole point, oh my gosh, we're going to get into a whole thing if we go down this Harry Potter road.
More importantly, though, this takes place in the same universe as the Archie comic. So this is like the town over, if I do remember correctly, John, from Riverdale.
Oh, no
way. It is,
way.
And it's actually being produced by the same team that does Riverdale, the TV show.
What?
So why isn't it on the CW? They passed or what?
It's got to be
because
darker.
I think Netflix also owns Riverdale now.
They don't own it. They're on there.
They might. I mean, Netflix owns
it. It shows up pretty darn quick when the season's
over,
though.
It does,
so it's like perfect for the people that want to binge the Black Hood and the Red Circle for 22 out. Oh, sorry. Did I fall asleep? Yeah, Sabrina. Yeah, I can't wait for her to move in next door and kill Archie.
Wow. You loved the first season of Riverdale. You didn't like
the first season's amazing of Riverdale. The second season, I saw 22 episodes, and I'm like, nope.
Wrong.
I'm out.
Wow.
Bzz, wrong.
We don't have
buzzers. And that's Troy saying that. That means a lot.
What?
That's Troy saying that.
I got four episodes in and I'm like, I could do this for another, you know, eight or nine or so. And then I looked and it was like 22 and I'm like, oh, no.
Done. So to be fair, you didn't finish all 22 then.
I did not finish all 22.
All right. So you don't know. You're saying the 22, yet he still makes me do the Blacklist Exposed. I just want to point out, 22 episodes are fine as long as, you know.
As long as it's what Troy wants to do.
As long as James Spader
Let's
might
Let's be
call.
Clear, it's 22 episodes over 18 weeks, four of which he'll be gone for, so it's like doing a 13-week season.
Right.
But he intentionally does it as so.
He does it totally as a favor. All right, so that's John's, right? That was John last?
Yep. So
that was mine, yes.
Light as a Feather on Hulu, October 12th. Light as a Feather follows five teen girls as they deal with the supernatural fallout stemming from, this is again a Hulu show, stemming from an innocent game of light as a feather, stiff as a board. When the so funny. When the girls start dying off in the exact way that was predicted, the survivors must figure out why they're being targeted and whether the evil force hunting them down is one of their own.
It sounds interesting.
This is like a Slender Man, Candyman,
yeah,
Boogeyman.
But see, it reminds me of, was it Harper's Island?
Remember? Yeah. Oh, that was a great show.
Yeah.
Great show.
Love that show where it was like a serial killer targeting people while they're on an island. It just, I love 10 episodes. I'm sure it's, I keep hearing it compared to Pretty Little Liars, which I didn't watch, ooh, but I've heard a lot of people love. I didn't watch it. So
I'm sure Troy doesn't.
No,
I watched Pretty Little Liars.
You watched it?
I'm just trying to give him a hard time because
I didn't finish it, but I watched the first couple seasons.
Wow. I mean, I thought you were a completist. It really feels like you just give up on things.
Well, yeah, Greek ended. It's not more and more like that.
Greek ended on ABC Family, and I broke up with ABC Family because of it. So
This feels dramatic.
And then it turned into Freeform, and I'm like, I can't find ABC Family to go back and finish Pretty Little Liars.
It's on Netflix.
Well, anyway, Flight is a Feather on Hulu, October 12th. I mean, this is cool. They're doing a whole lot of cool stuff on Hulu. I'm actually really like where they're going. Now, let's go around, and we're going to try to make the next stuff go a little faster. But first, are there any honorable mentions? We'll do honorable mentions for new shows. We'll start with Troy. Any real quick honorable mentions of anything?
Yeah, Penn Badgley and Elizabeth Lael, if you know them from Gossip Girl and Once Upon a Time, and also The Blacklist, are doing You on Lifetime. Totally check that out. He's like a super-duper stalker. It's pretty freaking amazing.
Have you watched it? I know that's out. Did you watch it?
I watched the first episode. I dug the first episode.
Okay.
Very cool. For being a Lifetime show. I mean, I'm not typically a Lifetime guy, but I did like Unreal. So I went, I'll check this out.
Is You the one that you sent me the video of?
I did.
Okay. It seems, yep. I can't believe it's on Lifetime and I'm actually interested.
I can't believe you guys are talking like you're not doing a podcast. They don't know what you're talking about. So,
well, right. He sent me a trailer.
You told me to keep it short. I could tell you what it's all about if you want me to.
No, I'm just saying she was like referencing something that happened between the two of you and nobody listening knows what the hell that means.
I was pretty clear. Is this the one you sent me the video of? He sent me a trailer
of it.
What was
the video of?
It was just a trailer.
Was it a video of Troy doing something?
Yeah, I hope not.
We like the same shows.
We do.
I wonder if that's okay. Intentional.
Gotcha. So You, stalker one. All right. Anything else?
Yep. The Romanoffs on Prime looks really good. And also Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on Nickelodeon. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what they do to the turtles this time.
How do you have time for these 15 shows that you've just named?
He watches them at two
because,
times.
Because maybe. I have a son, so I know the son will have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on, and I'll occasionally check on him, and then I'll watch one episode. I'm just trying to be inclusive of everybody on the podcast, all right? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming back on Nickelodeon.
I'll occasionally check on my child in between all the other shows I'm watching.
That's what I got screens for, man. Screens are the new parent. Come on.
Wow.
We all know this.
Wow. All right. Amanda, any honorable mentions real quick?
To Catch a Killer, which is going to be on ID September 13th. Each,
the hell is that?
It's each episode of To Catch a Killer unfolds.
No, what's ID?
Oh, it's the what is it?
Investigation Discovery.
Oh, Investigation Discovery.
Yeah. Investigation Discovery. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, that's what it's called.
I didn't know that. I just said that because the other two guys said it, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna be left out. Investigative Discovery, love it. My favorite channel.
So each episode basically unfolds as an epic game of cat and mouse, leading to the bombshell moment when these two iconic adversaries come together in an unexpected way. So I just want to see what happens with these killers.
All right, cool. So not a Chris Hansen show.
No.
Okay, it's too bad. That's different. That's Predator. Anything else?
No.
Okay, John?
On September 21st, The Good Cop on Netflix stars Tony Danza and Josh Groban. A disgraced former NYPD officer lives with his son and an earnest, obsessively honest police detective. It looks funny. It looks like something that would be a great time. It looks heartwarming and fun. That's one I'm really excited to catch on. That's on my honorable mention list. And then finally, to fill that hole that I will describe later as far as something that needs to die in a dumpster fire, Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
I am excited. I'm hoping this satisfies some sort of blank, dark hole in my heart that is left behind by the last year's happenings. But Jay Hernandez stars as the Magnum PI. what do you want? It looks like Magnum. It has Ferraris. They get destroyed in the trailer left and right. And we have a new Higgins who's a chick. And I'm kind of okay with that.
And she's hot, which is weird because I remember the old guy with the dogs.
Right.
Yeah. And if you don't know who Magnum P.I. is, he's an ex-Navy SEAL, comes home from Afghanistan, uses his military skills to become a P.I. in Hawaii. So you know there's going to be a crossover with Hawaii 50.
I hope so.
I hope. I pray. I pray.
Then MacGyver shows up totally unannounced.
Of course.
But and which MacGyver?
The one that's on Friday nights, probably. The thing that I am hoping, I am praying for, because they're both on CBS, is I want a Blue Bloods crossover where that guy comes to Magnum P.I. and they just compare facial hair.
Yes.
Right? Well, I just think that would be amazing. And also, it would reverse the space-time continuum.
Or Magnum P.I. takes over the Blue Blood time slot.
It would be a perfect fit.
And then you can have him come over and totally kick his ass for taking over the time slot. Show him what Magnum really is all about.
I just want Tom Selleck to show up on Magnum P.I. because CBS has that kind of clout. And I don't know if he'd want to do it because Magnum P.I. is a show that kept him from being Indiana Jones. But I think he still loves that character. So it's just so weird that the guy is still on that network and they're revamping his show. So Magnum's actually on CBS as a different character. It's weird.
That is weird.
It's weird, but I like it. I still like it.
Because it's a reboot, not a continuation.
Right. Yeah. All that works. Okay. My quick ones that I want to mention, The Cool Kids, September 28th, Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern. From executive producer Charlie Day, David Alan Greer, Martin Mull, Leslie Jordan, and Vicki Lawrence. It's basically a comedy about a group of friends living in a retirement community who are willing to break every rule in order to have fun. Because at their age, what do you got to lose?
Sold. You said Charlie Day.
Yeah. He's not in it. He just produced it. But it sounds like a fun, you know, I like Golden Girls, but with
dudes
and a girl. Golden guys.
Vicki Lawrence gets me excited for that one.
What's that?
Vicki Lawrence is what gets me excited for that one.
Yeah, she's great. Vicki Lawrence is always a clever comedian and enjoyable. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, Homecoming on Amazon on November 2nd. Julia Roberts plays, and you might have heard, this is a podcast, actually, that became a series. Julia Roberts plays a caseworker who treats soldiers returning from war in a sleek new drama from the brains behind Mr. Robot.
I think it looks good. Well, the content seems interesting, but I have a really hard time with them going back and forth in the trailer between widescreen and full screen. It really just, I can't do that. If that's what this TV show is going to be, I just can't. I cannot.
No, Mr. Robot fan, then I take it.
I liked the show, the content, but I don't recall ever being whiplashed like that trailer did for Homecoming.
Well, trailers are cut notoriously fast.
Man, they should not have cut it like that. That was poor decisions on their part. It's like every other scene, they're going back and forth, like full screen, widescreen, full screen, widescreen. It's like somebody took the remote and was just like, we're just going to keep flicking back and forth till we figure out which one we want.
I don't think that's how the people think.
Well, that's what it looks like.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to...
So is Sam Ismail involved with this one?
Yeah.
Or is it just his people?
No, I think he's the brains behind it.
Well, then I'm definitely in.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
Looks like a cool show. And it's a cool podcast if you've never checked it out. All right, but listen to ours first, obviously. Now, we're going to speed this up.
Hearing that.
Obviously, we took a lot more time for the most anticipated most anticipated new shows. Returning shows, we can be a little quicker on. Just give us your three and you can do them all at once. What are your most anticipated returning shows, top three, Troy?
Well, that's easy. And I'm not going to do any weird Nazi transitions this time around. But Man in the High Castle's coming back October 5th. I cannot wait.
That was one of mine, too.
Not only is it renewed for season 3, where they're going to do some really crazy crap going between the universes, it's also renewed for season 4 already. What? Wow.
That is awesome.
Super, super awesome. So I am super stoked for October 5th. Also, again, I followed Emily Van Camp everywhere she goes, except in real life. So I followed her over to The Resident on Fox last season. And let me tell you, The Resident is so good.
Yes.
I was really not looking forward to another medical show, but this is a sprinkling of House and a sprinkling of ER and just a bunch of just fun, just pure fun on Monday nights. It comes back September 23rd at 8/7 Central. And then also on Fox, the show that I probably think was the the largest hit from last season, in my opinion, because it's how you should do superhero shows on broadcast TV, at least. And that is The Gifted, Now going over to Fox Tuesdays at 8, 7 Central. I cannot wait for The Gifted to come back. X-Men all around.
Can we just talk a little bit about how the new TV show, New Amsterdam, seems like it's quite a bit like The Resident in that there's a main guy who's trying to do all of the right things in his hospital despite anybody telling him, no, you shouldn't be doing that, which is pretty much exactly The Resident, except for The Resident has more snark.
And there's a completely different twist on New Amsterdam.
I don't care.
What's the twist?
Man, you got to wait for later. You're spoiling all my future stuff. Oh.
Well, we could talk about Ryan Eggold.
You already spoiled one. Now you want to spoil the other one, too. Okay,
fine. We met Ryan Eggold. He was actually
supposed to... We're just going to jump to there in the format because New Amsterdam is going to be the show that... No.
Troy and I met him. He was supposed to come on this show, and he never did. So I'm still bitter.
He never did.
Well, it sounds like...
He's too important.
Boycott his show, too.
I wasn't going to watch it anyway. I don't... Medical shows.
And then because I'm the guest, I'm just going to throw it out there. This Is Us also, by the way. This Is Us. NBC.
All right, now let's go to Amanda. I forgot our rotation.
Wow. I thought you were going to say you forgot
me. That's why I'm here for you.
So my first up is Grey's Anatomy. I'm so excited. A two-hour premiere.
When do you stop being excited for the show? It's like 20 years in.
It's 15 seasons in.
It feels like 20.
It started to lose me last season or the season before, but then it just kind of got me back into it. And now I'm really excited to see what happens. Now
like
I got to know.
Godfather of medical shows.
It's so amazing. See, the thing is people think that it's the same characters returning over and over again, but it revitalizes itself every time because it introduces new characters, it exits old ones that have had too much time with the screen, and it keeps you intrigued with the stories that continue to happen. A story each episode, an overarching story. It's amazing. September 27th on ABC, and it is called The Season of Love. So I'm excited to see who's going to be.
They named the season?
They said it's a season
of
love.
Oh.
Theme, yeah.
Well, based on the finale cliffhanger, there's not much love going around, yeah. I don't think.
Yeah. See, Troy watches it. We talk about this stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Second up.
Exiting characters last season and new characters, old characters coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Back, so that
but
makes
I'm not
it really
super excited about her coming back, and you know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
I don't care.
I don't want to say because if somebody hasn't looked it up, then they would
I
be.
I promise you, I don't care. It's okay.
I'm talking about
people that are
listening.
Binging season 14 right
I'm
now.
I'm telling them, move on with your lives. Let's let it go.
I think my T count is going down as this conversation continues.
Oh, get away. So the next
up. Estrogen's going up, though.
Is The Resident. And also to correct Troy, it's September 24th, not the 23rd.
Did he get that wrong?
He did.
Oh, snap.
The 23rd is a Sunday. So
it is a Sunday. You know why? Because they have 911 is doing the Sunday Monday thing.
Excuse
so
us.
See, Troy.
My bad.
Troy
I'm sorry.
Does not know how to say I was wrong.
I did. I said I was wrong. I said my bad.
Okay.
All right. This one actually has Jenna Dewan, who is Channing Tatum's ex-wife, and she was also in the Step Up movies. She's actually going to be joining this season, so that'll be interesting. And then my final is This Is Us. So
didn't
exciting.
You already have three?
This is my third.
Feels like
that's her third.
Grey's, The All Resident. Right. This Is Us.
Okay. She just talked about Grey's for so long, it felt like three or four shows.
Yeah. I feel like we watched the whole show right here on this podcast.
But honorable...
317 episodes.
Honorable is Riverdale, because
well, no,
unlike
go back,
Troy...
Go back to This Is Us. Wait. You didn't finish This Is Us.
Oh, so This Is Us. It's coming September 25th on NBC. If you watched the last season, you know there's lots to come from what happened. Oh my gosh, there was so much emotion in the last season. But they're also going to continue to incorporate Milo Ventimiglia's character, which will be interesting to see how they continue to bring him back into the story.
Wait, he's dead?
You find that out in episode one.
Spoiler alert. I had no idea. My
Whatever.
Goodness. What's going on? All
but
right.
They're really clever in their writing, and I'm really proud of them, and it makes me
you're
happy.
You're proud of them?
I'm proud of them.
Do you know them? What do you mean you're proud
no.
of them?
Because it's really difficult to get a script where you're going back and forth in timelines, and it's seamless. Back to the Future.
Not according to Marty McFly. It seems fine and easy.
Exactly. That's my point. Is Back to the Future is the last time I can remember there being cuts back and forth between timelines where it was so
Looper.
Natural.
Looper.
It was nothing like...
Lost.
Wrong.
Lost confused me. There was too much going on and it was not seamless. It was
12 Monkeys.
I never watched 12
I
Monkeys.
I didn't either.
Well,
it's
the movie,
so good.
But...
So good.
Anyway,
so good.
Continue with your. You're not doing an honorable mention because
I already
John,
did it.
No, John might have something. So we're moving on. John, your three most anticipated.
On November 30th, Mindhunters is being released on Netflix Season 2. It was a great show the first season. I really loved watching everything that had to do with it. I thought the feeling to it, I thought everything about it was great. I liked the whole idea of living in the time period that was living in. And the guy who played that one serial killer in jail, he was phenomenal. But I'm really excited to see where this show is going. I'm glad another season is coming. And so that's my first one. Then we have Brooklyn.
Is that a fast turnaround? I felt like Mindhunter was like just released.
Yeah.
No, maybe it was that a year fast. Ago. It's been a year, I think.
Hmm. It's been a year. Holy crap. Mm-hmm.
Time flies.
Yeah. So, right. Up next, it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine is on its news network, which is NBC now. It's coming back this year. Thank God. Anybody else excited about Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Well, I mean, if it came back in 2018.
It doesn't come back until 2019, so it doesn't count.
Sad face.
Oh, it doesn't count?
All right. Someone didn't read the rules.
Troy already mentioned Man in the High Castle, and then just because I had just in case I needed another one, I have here one here, which is Marvel's Runaways on Hulu on December 21st. I really like the first season, and I can't wait to see what happens with Gertie and the dinosaur and everybody else in the next season.
I'm still trying to decide which one I like better, though, Runaways or The Gifted.
Well, I didn't watch The Gifted, so I can't.
Then I would recommend watching The Gifted, because if you like Runaways, you'll like The Gifted.
You know, Daredevil's coming back in October, I think, too. So you got a whole smorgasbord of Marvel shows. Daredevil season 3, which I don't even know if I'm going to watch or not, honestly.
Are only half the Marvel shows coming back, or are they all coming back?
I think they're all coming back. I just want Punisher. That's the only one I really want to watch.
Oh, never mind. I know what he just did.
What?
It's a snap the finger joke.
Oh, gotcha.
look at his face right now. He's so freaking proud of himself.
I'm working. He's just, you know, I'm busy. I didn't get time to stare at Troy's face. All right, my most anticipated shows. Hawaii Five-0 comes back on October 5th because the cast additions have me excited for the show again. Like, I had really kind of gotten away from being pumped up to watch it. But after catching up with the past season over the summer, I really want to get back on board with watching it as it airs. Like, that's how much I love this new blood that they have in that cast.
Is Aaron actually sitting there, Amanda? Because that sounds like what he said last year. Is this tape delayed?
who's the additions to it?
Megan Rath is the one that I love the most. She's just like an infectious personality. She's just bright-eyed and fun to watch and exciting and has an energy. It makes everybody in the cast a little better when she's around. She's one of those rare... I could see her being a big star someday.
Is this going to take place of your Lethal Weapon love?
Hey, we're not there yet. We're not at a Lethal Weapon discussion. Hold tight.
Is it a season you can just pick up and start watching right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about Hawaii Five-0. Yeah, I mean...
Because I would totally watch it with her in it. That sounds interesting.
She's great. Seriously, go start with season 8, and because that's when the new characters come up. And it's like a whole new show. It just feels revitalized. Just the energy is just so much better. And they've got a couple new characters, so it's actually really interesting. House of Cards comes back November 2nd on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I am fascinated. I haven't really watched the show that much, but I'm going to catch up before November 2nd because I want to see how they handle Kevin Spacey's exit and see how Robin Wright does as like holding the fort.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as Robin Wright is a great actress, I have no doubts about that. Kevin Spacey is a phenomenal actor. Think what you want about the man. Mm-hmm. As an actor, he's phenomenal and he's hard to replace. But I think there's a chance for them to do something really unique and special here, and I want to see if they can deliver on that. So House of Cards is up there. Lastly, Walking Dead. God damn it.
Because what?
On October 7th. What? Yes, Walking Dead, because now they've announced that Rick's going to depart the show. I assume that means die. I have to see how he goes. I have to see it. Damn it, they got me. Like, every freaking year they find a way to get me, and I'm just tired of it. I want if he dies, see, here's a good thing. If he dies, my wife says, once Rick's off the show, she doesn't care anymore, and she's the reason I get forced to watch it as it airs every year. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm praying Rick dies in a hail of bullets or something. Judith goes with him. And then that's the end of the show for me. I don't need to watch it anymore because I don't want to watch Daryl as the lead. I'd watch Carol, but, you know, Daryl, Norman Reedus, great guy. His character isn't strong enough to hold that show. So I don't know if
maybe
I really feel like
somebody.
Rick dying will be closure for me. Even though they say they're going to go another 10 years, they don't care if people are still watching it. They're still going to go another decade with this whole universe. Yeah, I need to exit at this point.
What if Kurt Russell shows up halfway through the show? Kurt Russell
wouldn't show up.
But what if he did?
He wouldn't.
But if he did.
All right, let's make it a little bit more
believable.
Kurt Russell
was in the chopper.
What if Dennis Quaid showed up?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid could show up. I mean, he's free.
Would you do it? Would you stick around?
Yeah, I'd watch it for Dennis Quaid. Hell yeah, I would. Dennis Quaid's always good. He makes everything better. All right, now shows you used to love, but now desperately want to end. Troy, you get one.
I have one.
Okay.
It's season 15, people. 317 episodes. Just 14 behind ER's run. So by the end of this season, it will have surpassed ER for the longest running medical drama to date.
You jerk.
Can they make this the final season for me once and for all? I mean, my wife and I have been married for 16 years this fall. I like being married to my wife. I do not like being married to Grey's Anatomy. Please let it end.
I cannot believe you. You're a disgrace.
My tea count's going back up again.
For shame.
I'm excited. For shame. I'm excited to see where it goes after the events of the end of season 14, but this has to be the last year. Their whole point of staying on this long was to beat ER. They will beat ER. Season 15 should be the final one.
Mm. I am so, so sad right now. You've crushed my heart.
And Station 19 sucks. Big time.
I could not watch that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a spinoff from Grey's.
They took one of my favorite characters on the show of Grey's, and they were like, well, we're just going to give him his own show.
Which happens all the time.
Which happens, but it just did not look interesting. I liked the way they tied it into Grey's because he was married to a Grey's Anatomy character. So they still had to keep that life together.
Oh, John, that tea count. I'm feeling you now. I totally get where you're coming from.
See, it happens.
Yeah. All right, Amanda, what's the show you used to love but now desperately want to end?
Well, I'm not going to say much about it because I feel like you might, but Lethal Weapon.
Well, no, you could say which one. Why
did
do you want to
take it just for the sake of like stepping all over me and
fight,
Aaron?
Fight, fight.
Noah, you guys can say your words. That's why I said I won't say anything about it.
Say your words.
My words are just I would like to still support it, but I just can't support Damon Wayans. I feel like he's a brat. He feels entitled to everything, and I just don't want to support somebody like that. Will I give it a chance? Probably, and I hate that I'm even saying that, but I do want to see what they do to Clayne Crawford's, basically his legacy per se in the show, how they're going to handle it. And I do like Sean William Scott, but I just...
You can't unsee Stifler. Damon, you just...
Well, no, not even that. I can get past that. I just cannot get past Damon Wayans being a complete jackass.
Okay. And we should, for people that might, if you've been living in a vacuum, Clayne Crawford played Riggs on Lethal Weapon. He was fired for bad behavior last year. He says it's because Damon Wayans was a diva. Damon Wayans says he was an asshole on set. So he said, she said, there's proof on both sides. It sounds like both of them had some issues. Mm-hmm. But so he's being replaced with Sean William Scott, who's playing a new character, not playing Riggs, called Martin Cole. And there's a connection to Lorna Cole from the movie. So that's how it's jammed in there. Like, hey, it's part of the legacy of Lethal Weapon, but not really because Riggs was the Lethal Weapon, but whatever. But so that's what's happening to that show. So, John, what are your words? I assume Lethal Weapon was your pick because, you know.
It is my pick, and my words are this. So when this show was initially announced, I was behind it 100%. I liked the idea of Damon Wayans being in it. I supported the idea of Damon Wayans being in it, and I was like, he can do Murtaugh up and down the street. I like the idea of Clayne Crawford being in the show because I've seen him in so many things, and just the two of them, based off of what I've seen, I was sold on the show right from Jump Street. I was excited. I was ready to go, and I wasn't wrong. I happily enjoyed both seasons, and I loved every single minute of what we got until I started noticing that, hey, those two guys aren't on screen together as much anymore. Hey, why is he wearing glasses and a hat throughout entire episodes? This is a messed up show right now. And then when everything started coming out with the news, I felt betrayed. I hate saying stuff like that because it makes me sound like I'm making it about me. But I felt betrayed because I was the first of the group here. I was one of the first people to start saying how this is going to be great and how the feedback was great and how it was going to be fun. I just don't want anything to do with this anymore. I hated hearing the stories, and I hated hearing reading what was going on, and I hated listening to the interviews. it just broke my heart. So yeah, that's why this one needs to go.
Mm. Not much more to add. I will say, as much as Lethal Weapon is my pick, I will probably watch it for Sean William Scott. I love the kind of show it is. And I, even though Damon Wayans, I do agree, seems like a diva, especially like if you saw his tweets when this whole thing went down, it's kind of hard to not feel like the guy's a diva. Besides that, I think most actors in Hollywood are probably diva-ish. And then you heard Clayne Crawford give his side of the story, and I feel like he's probably has some anger issues. He definitely came across that way to me. So it's kind of like, okay, I think these guys are oil and water. That's a big part of the problem. I think they're oil and water. They weren't meant to work together in a creative outlet, and it just didn't work. Sean William Scott is a guy, like, I always root for him. Mm-hmm. He seems like a fun, like, just a dude. He doesn't really seem like an actor. He seems like a dude. And he needs a break. Yeah. He deserves a break. I mean, The Rundown, I thought.
He does.
I didn't want to see that movie, and he was really fun in it. And he's just a guy where I enjoy watching him, even if I think he's a little over the top most of the time. He feels like he's kind of reeling it in for this, and I'm interested to see if he can pull it off. Now, the main reason I want it to end is because I can't see this show working without a Riggs in it. And Clayne Crawford, I did, like John said, I was not invested in this show at all. I didn't want nothing to do with it. Clayne Crawford is the only reason I gave it a shot, because I like the actor, and he's the only reason I enjoyed it. I didn't even like Damon Wayans till like the fourth. I think, John, remember what I was talking about, like fourth or fifth episode.
Yeah.
Like, I
didn't. Yeah, that's the fourth or fifth episode when you were finally like, okay, Damon Wayans can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can actually, he's got some heart with his family and stuff. I really enjoyed those moments. But Clayne Crawford, man, he just made the whole show work for me. Mm-hmm. It's just the rare instance where one actor does make an entire show. And it's a buddy cop show. I don't know how you replace one of the buddies and still expect it to fly. Just end it. It's what they should have done. And I don't like what they're doing with this character. And I don't want to spoil it. You can easily Google it and find out. But there are other more fan-friendly ways they could have resolved that character without bringing Clayne Crawford back. And it just would have been a lot more respectful, I think, to fans. All right. So now let's move on. Predictions for biggest hit, new show. Show you think will blow up this year. An existing show. That means you think it's going to be a big hit this year. And first to get canceled. Any show. Any show. So, Troy, do this real quick. What do you got? Biggest hit, show that's going to blow up, first to get canceled.
Oh, wait, that's me? Sorry, I took a nap there during the Lethal Weapon thing. No one cares. Okay. It's such old news. Biggest hit, sad to say, amongst the networks, the big four, New Amsterdam might actually be the biggest hit, regardless of how Aaron and I feel about Tom Keene. I mean, Ryan Eggold, because he has a character with cancer, and people like to root for people with cancer. And they like the hero thing, and they like their medical dramas, and it comes on after This Is Us. So because of the scheduling and all the hero things, I think that this is going to do fairly well, because unfortunately they're billing Manifest again as a lost show, so that won't have as many viewers, so I think this will edge it out. Million Little Things is on ABC, but it's like a This Is Us version, so I don't think that'll take it either, because we've already seen This Is Us. So because of the lead-in, because of the time slot, I say New Amsterdam is the breakout hit for this year.
All right. And the other two? You can do this, like, faster.
And then cancel first. Sorry, dude, but God Friend and Me, dead on arrival. And the reason for that is because of CBS football and the fact that CBS still has not, after all of this time, figured out how to schedule football overruns. You just put 60 minutes on at 8, 7 Central, and you just figure out how to run over the time for that last 20 minutes. Fox figured it out. It's called Fox OT. Do CBS football OT or whatever you got to do so that 60 minutes is on, and then maybe you have a successful show. No one's going to check into God Friended Me at 7:47 or 8:47 or whatever the hell it is. So yeah, because of that, God Friended Me is DOA. And then I think the show that's going to have the biggest blow up of the returning shows, like biggest success. I'm assuming that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
9-1-1. I mean, you already had Peter Krause and Angela Bassett, and now Jennifer Love Hewitt is joining the cast, replacing the exiting Connie Britton. It's a great look into public service officials that serve us daily, and it showcases all of the public safety departments in one show. That's right, not three, one show. It premieres with a two-night event Sunday, September 23rd, and then Monday, September 24th, which I got those dates right, airing normally thereafter on Mondays at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on Fox.
All right, Amanda?
The biggest hit, I think, is going to be Maniac on Netflix. I think that's going to be a huge hit. For a blow-up show, I think that, not that it's not already a blow-up show, but This Is Us, I think it's just going to continue to take take hold of everyone. And then first to get canceled, I put The Neighborhood because I don't think it's going to stick around. People don't even really know about it.
Okay.
Looks kind of lame.
All right. For my biggest hit, I'm going to go ahead and say that it's Magnum P.I. Just because of the name recognition, the cast, and the storyline looks like it's going to be pretty great. I think Magnum P.I. has a good running long game for it. For the first to get canceled, I got to agree with Troy on God Friended Me. Maybe we'll be wrong, but the title kind of messes with me, and I don't care about football enough to say that that's what is going to kill it. And then...
Is there a patron saint that you plug into your TV or something that'll help save that? I'm a Catholic, so I don't know.
There's a candle we can light.
Nice.
And then the biggest blow up. Oh, God, from last year? I can't even begin. I think Mindhunters last year had a big push for it. So I think it's going to be able to keep its steady pace.
All right. My biggest hit, actually, you've already heard most of these. New Amsterdam, I agree with everything Troy said. Medical shows do really well.
Mm-hmm. People love them. Whoa, time out.
You're right, once in a while.
No, it happened,
my house my house just shook, everybody. I just want you to know. Like, there was an earthquake.
Did God just friend you?
No. I think he unfriended us because Aaron and I just became friends.
Hey. The show that's going to blow up, I think The Resident on Fox. Same reason, really. I think medical shows do really well, and people seem to like that show, and I think it wasn't really catching fire last year. It just did well enough to come back. I think this year it really blows up. Because Fox needs a big hit.
That's interesting. Why do you say that? Because I thought it blew up pretty good last year.
No, I mean, if you go look at the ratings, it did well enough to come back, but it wasn't a huge mainstream success. I think this year is the year where it achieves that.
Yeah, because it was a mid-season start last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's got the fall push.
It just did well enough, and I think this year it's going to do really, really well. Show to get canceled, unfortunately, God Friended Me. I mean, the same reasons you guys mentioned it. We're too cynical for anything hopeful, and Sunday Night Football will kill it. So
that's a good point.
Just not going to work. Now, do you guys want to hear what the listeners are most excited about? And this is new or returning, either one. There's a three-way tie for 10th, so I'll just read them off. Big Bang Theory, because it's their final season. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and The Flash are tied for 10th. Which is kind of interesting. And Big Bang Theory, I mean, I think people are actually kind of bittersweet about that show coming to an end.
It's time.
Yeah, it's been time. But, you know, and people say that, but come on. I mean, the show goes as long as people watch it, and people still watch it.
Well, they did have the thing that happened at the end of last season, which was basically the last nail in the coffin.
Right. I have no idea what you're talking about because I don't watch it. Number 9.
I didn't want to spoil it.
I don't want to know. Number 9, The Resident. Number 8, Manifest. Number 7, New Amsterdam. Amsterdam would be kind of be a cool show to watch.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam.
Number 6, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mm. When is season 2 coming out for that?
I don't know, but it's number 10. It's in the top 10.
If you haven't watched it yet, turn off this podcast now and go watch it.
No, finish the podcast, then watch it.
It's amazing. Concurred. It's amazing. And it won Emmys. Lots of them.
It sure did. Top 5. And I kept watching the Emmys, and the whole time I'm watching it, the creator, she's wearing this just giant bowling hat or whatever.
Oh, Amy Sherman Palladino?
Yeah, and I kept thinking, I feel bad for the guy sitting behind her because he can't see the entire telecast.
That person should be thanking Amy Sherman Palladino for the travesty that show was as a person watching the Emmys. It was terrible.
Well, except for the guy that proposed.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
That worked out really well. If she would have said no, it could have been a fascinating event. She really should have just said no for the hell of it. All right, top 5, American Horror Story, because that's coming back. The Rookie. Number 3, Doctor Who. It comes back in October, right?
It does come back.
Yeah, related Doctor. Number 2, This Is Us. And number 1, The Good Place, which nobody mentioned. The Good Place.
I like it, but I'm not caught up on season 2. Also, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel does not have a season 2 premiere date, but they are filming right now. And the trailer just came out. The teaser trailer.
Okay. So people might be jumping the gun, but whatever.
It should probably. The first season came out in like November last year, didn't it?
Yeah, it was about Thanksgiving, roughly.
Yeah. So I think it'll still fit in fall. But it just could, in case anyone was wondering.
Troy, I know you got to go, but thanks for coming here and doing this, man. Where can people find you?
Always love these. Sorry I didn't have any quippy transitions or anything this time around, but we'll do it again in the spring.
Absolutely. And also, we should mention our friend Cal Nolan, NoReruns.net. He's been on the show. If you were looking for scheduling information, he has it all on there. He's got a whole grid and everything, NoReruns.net.
Fancy.
Yeah. Trey, where can people find you? Because I don't know, you're podcasting on like everything, but you're not doing as many.
Sadly, no. I have been on podcast vacation since May. It's really nice. So this is like the first one since I've been gone since the Blacklist ended. So ended for the season. Sorry, I don't want to get people freaking out. Because it isn't on the fall schedule. Everybody, well, where's Blacklist?
Yeah, come back in January. It'll
be back,
back
in January.
We did just have an interview with the stunt coordinator of Blacklist. Over, if you go find the Blacklist Exposed, it's really cool. Like,
Mr.
the guy's
Court
really interesting.
Hessler III, yes. Mm-hmm. Fantastic interview. And we'll also have one for with John Bokenkamp to kick off the season right there, right around Christmas time again. So that's going to be great. So yeah, Blacklist Exposed. TheBlacklistExposed.com is the main podcast. I also do one for a football team, the 13-time NFL champion winning football team, the Green Bay Packers.
Boo.
You can get that at PackersFanPodcast.com.
Yep.
We're all about the ties.
All right. Thanks, man, for being here. And you'll be back, I'm sure, at some point.
Be here. And I'll be on the cruise. So if that's right. Any incentive, I'm sorry. You can't see what I see because I'm not as good looking as everybody else on the podcast. But yeah, I'll be there if you want to hang out and talk TV.
All right. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
I'll take off.
Bye. All
right, see you.
Have a good one, Troy.
Bye. All right. Now we're going to go to a couple of spoiler-free reviews, and then we're going to do some quick new releases, and then we're out. We're out. Got two movies that came out. The first one is The Predator, and it's not the Chris Hansen story, which is really sad and depressing, but Amanda, lead us off.
The Predator is from the outer reaches of space.
To the Reachers.
Reachers, right?
Jack Reacher's in it.
Switching it up here.
This movie would be so amazing if Tom Cruise showed up.
Ah. From the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, the hunt comes home. The universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves with DNA from other species. When a boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and an evolutionary biologist can prevent the end of the human race. So my first question for you, gentlemen, is how do you feel about the casting in it? Because it's got Olivia Munn, Sterling K. Brown, Keegan Key, Jacob Tremblay. It's kind of got a stacked cast for the most part. Mm-hmm. How'd you guys feel about all of the characters and the choices that they made with casting?
Olivia Munn can't act.
But she was a lot of fun, though.
I did think she was kind of fun, but she had no range at all. She was, if you look at her face at the beginning of the movie, it's the same facial
expression
mechanisms that she uses in the end of the movie when everything's going to hell. She just, you know, I know on Newsroom she was okay, but I think that was just the way that the character was written. I don't know. I just don't find her to be a very good actor. Outside of that, I didn't, but then again, I don't think she was bad here. I just feel like she didn't really add anything either. It was kind of like a, you know, copy-paste character. But everybody else was pretty cool. Yeah. The main dude was actually really, really intense. John, what did you think?
Yeah, no, he was very cool, and I actually disagree. I think Olivia Munn was a good way to spread out some of the comedy or ways to break up the tension. She was a great tool for that, and she was actually adept at doing it. So I really enjoyed it. However, how she went from being a biologist to gun wielding awesome person, I don't know.
Yeah, that went really, really fast, and I didn't quite understand that. Who I did love was Boyd Holbrook. Played Quinn McKenna, because his character is basically he finds evidence of the Predator, sends it to his son, and then finds out that the Predator is actually going to go and get that, which means the son's in danger. So he has to go and get him. Now, Boyd, if you remember Logan, you guys remember Logan?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He was the bad guy in Logan, and he was a great villain.
Oh.
So it was interesting to see him kind of flip the script in that respect. And then he's hanging out with what they call the loonies, which are these actors who are guys going to an asylum who become his new unit and have to help him defeat the Predator. I think it's a really an interesting way to do this kind of movie, and it really worked casting wise.
Anything else from you, John, on the casting?
Yeah, I can't agree anymore. I think the loonies were a lot of fun. Sterling K. Brown, seeing him do a villain role again was a lot of fun because he did a villain. Last time I saw him do a villain, which was in a couple of episodes of Supernatural, and he was a villain in that, and he was a lot of fun. Like a really just menacing kind of character, and it was fun seeing shadows of that character plus something brand new in this. So I really enjoyed Sterling K. Brown. And again, the Loonies were fantastic. What's left of Thomas Jane's career was fun to watch wiggle around on screen a little bit.
Was Jacob Tremblay as incredible and powerful in his role as he was in The Room?
No.
No.
He's a kid. No. Well, he's playing a kid on the spectrum. So, oh,
interesting.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, is he autistic? I'm not quite sure what he is, but he's definitely on the spectrum. So, okay. And he does a fine job. He's a really talented young actor.
He was Wonder, too.
Yeah, he's a really talented young actor. He really is. He did, yes. All the actors were good, except for Olivia Munn.
So what about the effects? Because they obviously have to have something to make these creatures come to life. So how did you guys feel about the actual, they're not aliens, but the predators?
Well, I think the one thing I really enjoyed, John, you backed me up on this because you're a big fan of monsters, is that they use a lot of practical effects here where the predators are in suits. Oh. They're jacked up. It's not all computer effects. So you actually feel like there's an ass whooping happening most of the time.
Well, one of the predators was definitely practical effect. The other one was likely a computer generated.
Well, I think creature. I think it was a mix because there were moments where he was definitely practical because he's holding people up and everything else.
Interesting.
It's possible. There was moments where it definitely was noticeable to me that he wasn't a practical effect. However, it didn't really take me too far out of the movie at all to witness it. So I thought they both looked great. I did think the practical effect predator, which was a much better looking predator than the other one, but it was fun seeing the expansion of that world in a way that made sense as opposed to like how the Alien versus Predator movies kind of expanded on it. It was nice seeing the expansion, how there's different predators, how they actually have the dogs and that sort of thing. Yeah, it was really cool seeing it.
Cool. Well, out of the 10, if $10 is the full price of admission, what would the two of you give Predators 2018?
Well, I do want to say, first off, the writing is really sharp in this one.
Okay.
Before we close it out, Shane Black wrote and directed this. He was actually in the first movie. So it's kind of weird to see that connection. But he, if you know Shane Black's work, he did Iron Man 3, but we won't hold that against him. We did The Nice Guys. He did, what's the Downey Jr. movie, John?
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Yeah, Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. So there's a lot of that kind of, there's a lot of wit and just verbal sparring and that sort of thing in here, which wasn't really prevalent in the other Predator movies, really kind of spiced it up a little bit. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. So I had a good time. It's a good time. Out of $10, $10 full price of admission, I get $6.50.
Okay. Johnny?
I give it $6.50 exactly also. It was a good time. This is, to me, this is like the perfect movie for our podcast. This is what I think what our story is all about, is making sure movies like this and movies that are that most people would try to find reason to poo-poo. This was a good movie. It's fun, and that's perfectly okay for it to be fun.
It's a lot of fun. It made me want to see, I'll tell you this. This is the best way I can say it. I was done with the Predator series with Predators. This made me want to see another Predator movie.
Is there enough good story in it for somebody who's just never been into the Predator movies? Because I've never been crazy about them. So
yeah, because they do it a different way. They're taking a different slant to it this time.
Okay.
So it's very interesting.
Okay, good to know.
New twist. And that takes us to A Simple Favor. Anna Kendrick stars as Stephanie Smothers, a single mom who is a whiz at mommery, but not so good at making friends. Suddenly, Emily, played by the ravishing Blake Lively, comes into her life, and even though Emily is brazen, seductive, way too open, the complete opposite of Stephanie, they become best friends. One night, Emily asks Stephanie to watch her son so she can work late, and she disappears. She never comes home. As the clues add up, Stephanie becomes determined to find out exactly what it is that happened to Emily. Amanda, actually, I saw this too, but you saw it. You're the lead reviewer on this one. The film is centered on the opposing performances of Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. Did one deliver more than the other? Were they both amazing or awful? Where do you land with these two?
They were both amazing, but in different ways. So Anna Kendrick gives you the progressive character where you see her start in one place and you watch her performance alter as she goes on. And it's really entertaining to watch that and see her kind of flourish as an actress, which was great because I feel like she doesn't get the credit she actually deserves in a lot of her work. Mm-hmm. And then Blake Lively, now I've not seen Gossip Girl. I've seen little clips of it, so I don't know how she is typically. You know, I've seen like The Shallows and stuff. But she felt very, man, she was really just like she captured my attention every single time she was on the screen. And it wasn't just the way that she looks and the fashion that she has, the way that her demeanor like engages you and actively makes you. She basically looks at the audience in a way, and her performance does, where she's like, you're going to pay attention to me. And that's what she kind of has that hold on Anna Kendrick's character as well. So
she had a hold on me as well.
Oh, yeah. I fell in love with her in the first act. Oh, my gosh.
I wasn't love, but I was in there.
Whew. But I feel like they both had very incredible performances just in different ways, where Anna Kendrick kind of, she showed different facets of her performance. Blake Lively was always this very, I don't know, very manipulative.
She commanded a room.
She did.
Cool thing that's about right that, words. That's a character, if you watch the movie, you have to believe that that character is someone, because of how the movie plays out, and I'm not going to spoil anything, I hope you're not either, because of how it plays out, it's a character that you have to believe would command every room she entered. Because if you don't believe that, that movie does not work. Because that's how the entire foundation of everything. Like mm-hmm. every character in the movie, the reason that they do some of the things they do is because Emily is so captivating. And Blake Lively, I did not know she was as captivating as she was, because I was hanging on her every word.
Yeah.
I was just like, what's Emily going to say next? I hope it's my name.
And it never wasn't. Was.
No, never was. Yeah, and Anna Kendrick, I will say, I like Anna Kendrick. I think she's one of the most talented actresses working today, young actresses. I mean, she can do quirky, funny, dramatic, and she can sing. She can do so many things.
Malicious. She can pull that off,
too. Yes, she can be very devious and dark. Her character, the first 10 minutes, I wanted to, like, shot put her through a window because she was so annoying. But she really wins you over, and you realize, wow, she's really just trying too hard. You know, we've all been there. She's trying to fit in with the cool kid, and it's just – it really, really works. It really works. So with the characters already established, Paul Feig is a wonderful director. But this is unlike Bridesmaids or Spy or Heat or any of his other movies. It's mm-hmm. completely different. It's a very dark, dark comedy. Does he unveil this, I would say, Hitchcockian story with finesse?
Absolutely. I think the way the story was told, and a lot of it has to obviously be credited to the original novel by D'Arcy Bell, and then Jessica, I don't even know how to say her last name. She's the screenwriter for this. Scharzer? Is that how you say it?
I've heard it both ways.
Scharzer? Probably. Anyway, so a lot of the credit has to go to them for the way that they scripted it and the way it's done. But obviously, Paul Feig has all of the everything that he needs to make this work out well, and he utilizes everything, I feel like. He manages to keep tension building in every pivotal point. So about every 15 minutes, there's something new that's getting your attention, and it's building up to something that's coming next. It doesn't ever feel too overwhelming or I liked the ending. I know that might be a little bit debatable with some, but he also increases the comedy as it continues. So the way that he managed to make that flow worked for me, because I felt like everything was paced really well. It was shot really well. There's an incredible scene with Blake Lively, her first entrance on screen. And I swear I couldn't breathe for a minute.
I would trade my firstborn in that first scene and be like, I will just trade you for a weekend with her.
I would trade my whole family.
Yeah, she's that amazing in that scene.
Yeah, just it's like, great. Damn. But a lot of that has to be credited to Paul Feig because of the way that he made everything lead up to that moment mm-hmm. and the he way he it shot up. It. And so he was really talented with it. And also the dialogue in this. I was probably the most obnoxious person in my theater because I couldn't stop my witch cackle. I was laughing so hard at some of the things that were happening and being said. And I just, man, it really just was an amazing movie for me. I loved it so much.
Yeah, see, I loved it until the last 10 minutes. Like, I loved this movie until the last 10 minutes. And it just, it hits a moment. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to be me. And it's just like, what just happened here?
I clapped and I laughed.
It just got super cheesy in the last 10 minutes. But that's just my opinion. A lot of people love that movie. Or love that ending. So it's part comedy, part thriller, part mystery. Do the combined elements work throughout? Do you think as a whole, this is a movie that works?
Yeah, and I think it's impressive that they managed to get all of those types of genres working in one.
I was actually shocked that the comedy worked so well.
The and the romance elements were pretty good, too. They got so many different genres into one movie, and it felt like a natural progression. You didn't have to feel like you were this part of the first act.
It was like a fun Gone Girl.
Yeah, it was. You didn't feel like there was one part of this act that was comedy, and now we're going to move into thriller, and now we're going to move into romance. Like, it wasn't sectioned like that. You were just watching a movie that contained all of these elements, and it was done really, for me, flawlessly.
Wow, flawlessly.
Flawlessly.
So $10 full price of admission, what do you give A Simple Favor?
I gave it $8.50.
Now, if it was flawless, wouldn't it be 10?
No movie's perfect.
Some movies are perfect.
No.
Rear Window's perfect. Titanic is perfect.
I seem to recall you gave Winnie the Pooh a 10.
Ooh, that's true. I did.
Snap. That was only a month ago. You're a hypocrite in less than a month? Sure doesn't take long.
Okay, I guess it's not flawless. It's no Winnie the Pooh.
And I would give it 7. I would have it about 8.5, and I just the last 10 minutes, just the ending didn't stick for me. But for most people I know, it did. So I'm in the minority. But I'd be curious what people think of that, because Predator is one of those movies where I kind of know our audience. You guys are gonna dig it, man. You guys are gonna love that movie. It's just a dumb fun action flick. You're gonna enjoy it. Simple Favor is one that I think people will talk about more. So there's a lot to talk about.
I will say the way I had divided my scores originally was an 8.7. And in the film review, you can't section it to you can't choose 8.5 or 9. I wanted it rounded to 9, but then I just went down to 8.5. So
you made concessions for this flawless film.
I did. Sorry.
Not so flawless. All right, Jen, what's coming out this week or in the upcoming week? Anything worth checking out? All
right, so coming up first on 9/21, we have Fahrenheit 11/9. Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11/9 is a provocative, comedic look at the times in which we live. It will explore the two most important questions of the Trump era. How the F did we get here and how the F did we get out? This is directed by Michael Moore. I already said that twice. Okay, moving right along. Life Itself, also in 9/21. As a young New York couple goes from college romance to marriage and birth of their first child, the unexpected twist of their journey created reverberations that echo over continents through lifetimes. It's directed by Dan Fogelman, stars Isaac, stay away from my wife, Oscar. Oh, shit, reverse that. Oscar, reverse, stay away from my wife, Isaac. Olivia, okay, never mind, go for her. Wild. Annette Bening, Mandy Patinkin. Following that, we have The House with the Clock on the Walls, also in 9/21. A young orphan named Louis aids his magical uncle in locating a clock with the power of bringing about the end of the world. This is directed by Eli Roth and his stars Kate, What Happened to Your Career, Blanchett, Jack Black, Lorenzo Izzo, Owen Vaccaro. And then we have I Think We're Alone Now.
I know, right? Like, Belinda Carlisle's in my head. I think we're... No, Tiffany. Yeah. That was Tiffany, right?
It's Tiffany.
I mean, sure, some people are screaming, it was the Beatles, bitch. But no, it was Tiffany.
The apocalypse proves to be a blessing in disguise for one lucky recluse. Until a second survivor arrives and threatens his... with the threat of companionship. I actually love that line. With the threat of companionship.
Sounds like something you'd write.
Yeah.
This is totally something I would write. This is starring Peter Dinklage, Elle Fanning, Charlotte Gainsbourg, and Paul Giamatti. Then on VOD, we have Beyond the Sky. While shooting a documentary to expose the lies of alien abduction, and a provocative filmmaker and his crew encounter a young woman with a dark secret who leads them to uncover a disturbing truth. This stars Ryan Karnes, Jordan Henson, who people might remember her from Eureka, mm-hmm. and then Claude Dumel and Martin Sesemir. Then finally, we have Private Life on Netflix on 9/21. An author is undergoing multiple fertility therapies to get pregnant, putting her relationship with her husband on the edge. This is starring Catherine Hahn, Paul Giamatti, and a few other people that we all love and care about. So, this is the picks of the week. Amanda, I assure you have thoughts. Go for it.
Oh, I'm so excited for Life Itself. I'm going to cry a lot, but I'm also going to fall in love with this movie. I can already tell, because every time I see the trailer, I'm completely engaged with it and I'm ready to see it. I'm waiting for them to put the showtimes out so I can buy my ticket for Thursday night. And I also kind of want to see Private Life because I like Kathryn Hahn. And I feel like that's a story that will also probably make me cry. But it's also a story that needs to be told in different ways. And I feel like it's an important one to talk about. So
I'm going to go outside.
Aaron?
I'm going to go outside. Yeah, a lot. And get ready for the TV season. There's really nothing here that's flipping my trigger. Howl's for the Clock and Its Walls will be right up my alley if Eli Roth wasn't directing it. He's not a good director. I'm not going to waste my money on him again. So, yeah, I think we're alone now. I definitely want to check that out because it's Peter Dinklage, and I just think it's an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. So there we go. If I have to pick one, that's the only one. Michael Moore, you probably haven't listened to the Patreon episode, but if you have, I'm just tired of his style of documentary. He doesn't really open it up for other opinions. It's only his opinion, and I already know what his opinion is on everything. There you go.
So my pick is also I Think We're Alone Now because it's VOD. It's hot as all hell outside. I don't want to go to a movie theater where they don't keep the AC right in the comfortable level where I like to keep it. So I Think We're Alone Now on VOD is going to be my pick.
There doesn't seem to be anyone else around. So, yeah, I would go with that. That was a song.
I can send myself out for pizza while I'm out of town.
All right, any recent film or TV recommendations?
That's clone now. I think I'm a clone now.
Recent film or TV recommendations. We haven't already talked about anything. I mean, I saw Life of the Party with Melissa McCarthy. Can I just say, she needs to stop making movies with Ben Falcone. Her husband, stop it. No, the movies of hers that are really good do not have him in it. Like, he's just not a good comedy director. His movies have not been funny. Tammy and this one and just like every flop she has is because of him.
Well, that's
I feel
sad.
Like it could have been a really funny movie, a really funny twist on Back to School, more of a motherly approach to it, and they just squandered all of it with just his directing. Sorry, I went off on a tangent, but that's the first thing that came to my head after watching
McCarthy.
That. I love Melissa McCarthy. I'm not one of those detractors or haters. I love her. I think she's hysterical. It's just whenever I see Ben Falcone, or Falcone, whichever, which is her husband, as the director, I'm like, oh, it's not going to be that good. And I'm usually right.
Well, that's sad. If you want to check out a very mediocre horror film, you can see The Basement with Misha Barton. I did catch that one. And whew, the dialogue.
Did you say it was awful?
So yeah. There. Yeah.
That's not what mediocre means.
I'm trying to be nice. Okay, so.
You don't need to be nice.
You know how The Room.
Is it like the Olivia Munn of horror movies?
It's worse.
It's very mediocre.
It's seriously like the it's basically The Room for horror movies.
Oh, it's the basement room.
The worst, one of the worst dialogue things. Like in the whole, it's not even just a segment, it's the entire
script.
Excuse
me, what is a dialogue thing?
Well, I was going to say dialogue segment, but then I was like, no, it's literally the whole movie of dialogue.
So you went with
poor.
Dialogue thing instead of the dialogue segment, which makes more sense.
Yeah, okay. No. So they do have parts where they're building tension and the cast is okay. The kidnapper
is what is it about? Somebody gets kidnapped and...
So basically the serial killer in L.A., the Gemini killer, has kidnapped a rich and famous musician, and his wifey is Misha Barton, and she's at home trying to figure out what happened to him because he just didn't come home.
She's really trying to figure out, what happened to my career? Oh, that's right.
She's a very small segment in this. It's strange how it's set up.
Goes back to my point.
But the poster is Misha Barton's The Basement, and it's her face, and it's like, wait, what? So anyway, back to the plot of the movie. I don't think I'm selling this at all.
I don't.
It was probably just filmed like 7 years ago or something.
It's so it kidnaps this guy and keeps him in the basement, but he has 12 personalities. So he has to interact and deal with
Split.
Split meets Silence of the Lambs, but also meets The Room because it's so bad.
That was, yeah, that's a bad connection right there.
Oh, man. But it's just crazy because it genuinely feels like they had a tiny, tiny little, like, I call a side quest for Misha Barton for her storyline. But then in the third act, they're like, crap, we paid for her. We should probably incorporate her a little bit more. So then they're just like jam-packing her in the story. And I'm like, wait, what?
Maybe she was in the back eating all the catering. They're like, we got to get her involved.
It was, and the dialogue is so poor, you guys. But there are some cringeworthy parts in the movie, not jump scares, but parts that make you go, ooh, whoa. So,
but not enough to make you actually recommend it.
That doesn't sound like a cringe, but okay.
Yeah. That sounded like, yeah, girl, what's up?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people love those bad horror movies. So it's one, if you like those, check it out.
All right, John, anything from you?
All right, so I caught up on a few things while we were gone. The season two of Iron Fist, they cut it down to 10 episodes, and it's an improvement. It's actually an enjoyable show. I'm not going to say that I'm like jumping up and down about it or anything else like that, but I had fun. I really liked the story. I really like how they showcased a couple of the relationships from the comics that they didn't showcase before, and they really put some other characters up front. They took away some of the silliness of Danny Rand and gave it to somebody else, which was nice. And I can't say enough good things about it as far as like how much they improved it. And I hope this is a trend with the next iteration of Marvel shows coming to us from Netflix. I'm in the middle of watching The Innocents on Netflix. Mm. If you don't know what it is, it's from England. It's a story of a girl who has the ability of shifting bodies. I'm not spoiling anything. You find it out in the first episode. Whenever she gets in a point of stress, she touches somebody's body, she can turn into that person. And it's a whole kind of mystery of what this whole world's about and what's going on. It's beautiful to look at. It's wonderfully shot. It's got a lot of really good things going for it, and it's a good time. And I watched the first episode of The Dragon Prince on Netflix, another new show that just came out this last week. The animation kind of pulls me out a little bit because they're trying to do this animation style where it's a 3D animated maquette that has a 2D animated skin over it. So it kind of, there's some jitter to it. There's some movement functions that just don't feel right. However, once you get past it, it is kind of beautiful to look at. It's just, I'm sure some people who aren't me are going to love with the way it looks. The story and the characters for an animation are a lot of fun, and I can't wait to continue watching it.
All right, I do want to mention Summer of 84. John had mentioned this a month ago or something, or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I finally did catch that while I was, you know, relaxing. And it's a movie that's like Stranger Things or Stand By Me. It's like four kids who thinks that their neighbor is a serial killer. And it's them trying to prove that he's a serial killer. And he very well may not be a serial killer. It's a fascinating, really good movie. The ending is great. Because, right. Or you're going to take your TV and throw it out the window. It's one of those. I just thought it was a really brave, ballsy way to take a film. So there. Now, I don't think the whole movie is great. I think just, you know, how they chose to, the way that they chose to wrap it all up was kind of brave and really amped it up.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good elements to it. The kids made me miss the Stranger Things
kids.
Yeah,
because they do it better. I mean, let's be honest. They're a better quartet. But these kids are good.
They're better actors, period.
Yeah, I mean, these kids just talk about jerking off a lot, which, hey, it happens. Yeah. But it's really the serial killer element of it, the babysitter. You know, one of the kids has an infatuation with the babysitter, which may or may not be mutual. I mean, so it's interesting. And like I said, the ending is really cool.
Yeah. Well, now I want to check it out.
You should, just for the ending. Okay, so that's going to do it for this episode. I want to mention, once again, go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We have a winner, and that is Ashton Green. Ashton Green, you won a Blu-ray of either Avengers Infinity War or Deadpool 2 or another one that's like around $20. So we'll be in touch with you, so keep your eye on that. And if you want to be eligible for our next giveaway, then go sign up and help a podcast out. All right, so thank you so much. You can always join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We're also on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. Remember to grab the Ho on the Go with our Android app. We're on Spotify. You can subscribe anywhere or your podcast app of choice or thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohn.draws, Amanda on Smirk, and me and my other podcast, Remake This Movie Right, Beyond Westworld, and The Blacklist Exposed. We are done.
I will say, people, if you're not in our Facebook group yet, you should, because we're going to be doing some fun stuff in there that might intrigue you.
I'm going to be taking pictures of me pantless.
That's not true. That will deter everyone.
I will be wearing shorts under my pants, though.
Are they going to be jorts?
I would never wear a jort. I'm a man, all right?
Shots fired.
I would never. Do you think I would ever wear jorts? I'm not knocking them.
But right. You're knocking them.
But I'm not knocking them. John, thanks for coming, man. It's good talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, no, it's been a while. It's been a minute, and I've missed you guys. I've missed these little powwows. It's a little bit interesting doing it while actually being able to see your face. I really dig that.
How do you think we should, like, how long should we drag this out? Because some people are probably just waiting for this show to end so they can go to their next podcast, and we're just still talking. And they're probably, they thought it should have ended a minute ago, and we're still talking. We should stop.
Well, maybe. Bye.
I don't know. I think we should just keep it going and just make it weird. Very uncomfortable.
No,
for
bye.
People. You know what? There is something I want to mention.
There's something we should
something
talk about.
Special.
Something amazing.
That amazing might be a stretch. Dave McGraw, or Dave McGrath.
Depending on how you read.
Depending on how you pronounce it. He has a new book out. He has written many reviews for The Hollywood Outsider. He's actually been on a couple episodes. Most famously, I think Magnificent Seven, spoiler cast. We did a couple, like when that came out. But wonderful guy, great guy. And he finally wrote and published his first book. There's going to be a link in the show notes. It's called Who is Waldo Wiggins? That's Who is Waldo Wiggins? So we would like, if you would like, we would like for you to want to support him. Like, the guy's great. He's got his first book out. We think that's amazing. So in the spirit of Justin McCumber, support Dave McGraw. I think that would be great. Who is Walter? Who's Walter? Who's Walter White? No. Who is Waldo Wiggins?
That's meth dealer.
Dave McGraw's new book. So support them. There's a link in the show notes.
It's a young adult sci-fi book, if that helps you to wanting to check it out. I did read the first page because that's all the time I had.
You gonna give a critic review on that? Yeah, give it a $9 out of 10, Aaron, because of that first
10
page.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Does he mention us?
No, not in the first page.
Oh, wait. You know what? Just delete this.
I want mine signed. How do we get it signed? Should I ship it to him
and
have
him sign
it?
Give it here. I'll sign it.
You're not Dave McGrath or McGraw.
It's just a scribble. It's going to look the same. I'll ask him how he scribbles, and I'll do that.
He hasn't even gotten his author copy yet. Isn't that crazy? But I've gotten my copy, and you're getting your copy.
I don't know what to tell you. That's how science works,
I guess.
All right, well, congratulations, Dave, and I hope people will check out your book. And also, if you want to contribute to a nice cause, The Hollywood Outsider is sponsoring a walk for suicide prevention on September 29th. You can go to rockfordwalk.org.
Yep.
Yeah, rockfordwalk.org if you want to contribute or even join the walk if you're in the area. Come on out. I'm going to be emceeing the event, so that'll be fun for everybody but the audience.
It's free to attend, so you don't have to pay anything to attend it. We, of course, accept the donations and stuff.
But. Yeah, rock on. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for being here. Remember, the next time you go to a theater, next week's going to be really fun. We're going to have Nate Bruce come on, and we're going to talk about serial killers.
Serial killers.
Serial killers movie battle royale.
Who's the best?
Why are you whispering all creepy-ass like?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, look. Hey, John, nobody's done that before. Huh?
I know, I'm so original.
Feels fresh and new.
Straight from the 90s. You're welcome.
All right, well, come back for that. That should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. All right, thanks, guys. And remember, the next time you head to the theater or watch your television, buy some popcorn.
We're going to buy popcorn at home?
It's fall TV. Well, yeah. People watch.
Yeah.
People eat popcorn at
home. Go to the movie theater, buy your popcorn,
no,
and take it home.
Buy it at the store, dumbass. Then you bring it home.
You can have a popcorn maker.
You can have a microwave. You can
that
buy
is
it.
A popcorn
you can buy it in the bag. I bought some today in a bag where it's already popped.
Cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, white cheddar or regular cheddar?
Regular cheddar. I've had the white cheddar though. Let's just have a whole podcast on popcorn.
I gave up on dairy.
What?
What the hell? How did we get to dairy?
Why is this so sad?
I said cheddar.
Oh, I don't think it's like real dairy though, dude. It's like it's made in a
powder.
Lab. Can I clarify? Because I don't understand something here. So I was reading an article and they said that Sabrina is half human, half witch.
Yes.
What the hell does that mean? Like, are witches not human? They're just.
It's like a muggle. It's like Harry Potter.
I just don't understand the difference here.
You're not born that way. Like she learned the craft.
She's
you better cut that out.
Sorry.
Or leave it in.